Resolve to support your favorites in video gaming without detriment or talking down to others. Play together and don't deride those who do. Be critical without being detrimental. But most of all, enjoy. It's a new year and a new episode of the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another episode of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back tonight after a little break with episode number 672 for this January the 15th of 2017. First show of 2017, the first show of our 15th year, believe it or not, of doing this. My name is Rob Roberts, live in Studio N7 in Sacramento, California. And joining me, as always, say hello to Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Balls.
Is that how your 2017's been so far?
That's how my first word on the show for 2017.
I see. So it is noted. Can we put that on the wiki?
Balls.
How's 2017 treating you so far? Yeah? Did you have a good new year?
My 2017... Okay, everyone who knows me by now knows that I'm kind of obsessed with Aggressive Retsuko. Watch episode 39 of Aggressive Retsuko. It's a minute and a half. And that is exactly how I feel.
Wait, what is that? I don't think I know.
It's a Sanrio character.
Oh.
The office lady who's all sweet and kind of pushover.
Oh.
And inside she's all rage.
Is that like the...
And drinks beer and sings death metal karaoke.
Is that like the assistant from Monsters, Inc.?
No.
On the ride where she'll read you at the end of the ride?
No.
No, nothing like that.
You need to see Aggressive Retsuko.
I will put... Is it on Netflix?
Well, they're all fan-subbed up there anyway. But episode 39...
Okay.
...is basically how my year has started.
All right.
And how I feel about the rest of the year. Eat my fist, Destiny.
But not the game, Destiny.
No.
All right. Also, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
How is 2017 treating you so far?
Fine.
Yeah. Just same old, just like last year.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. How was your New Year?
It was okay. We just hung out at mother-in-law's house.
Sounds exciting.
Well, she made food, so it was good.
I say, okay, food is good. Food is very good. Hope we have lots of great food to enjoy throughout this year. So yeah, it's our first show of 2017. We were gone for a little bit. Even though we did a show on Christmas, that was a lot of fun. We had the next couple weeks off, one for New Year's, and then I was at MAGFest last week. So I'm back, obviously. Actually, I was traveling back from MAGFest during the show. I was somewhere in the air above Chicago where I'd had my layover. And yeah, so we weren't able to do a show last week, but now we're back. And looking forward to all the conventions this year, although actually nothing on my calendar yet. This is kind of the little break. I mean, the end of the year is always like it, after Dragon Con, it's like there's a convention every month. But so far, this year is looking pretty uneventful until like Dragon Con's the first thing on my calendar for this year. So we'll see.
What about Sack Indie Arcade? You're forgetting.
Oh, yeah, of course. Thank you. Well, here's the thing about Sack Indie Arcade. I don't have to travel for that. That's just in our backyard.
True.
So I don't... Like, that's kind of on a different list in my mind. But no, that's a darn good point. Sack Indie Arcade is coming up in April. And yes, OLR, we're going to be a part of that again. Very excited to be working with our pals from the Sack IGDA. I know they'll be back on the show at some point to talk about the event this year. So I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, we've had a pretty big week in gaming, right? So when we signed off at Christmas, or last time you were here, because you weren't here for the Christmas show, Loki, last time we heard from you a month ago, we still had all these questions on the Nintendo Switch. And, you know, I think I remember remarking, you know, by the time you're back on this show, we're going to have all our answers. Well, we got some of our answers this week, and we have some new questions. So let's kick off tonight's OLR talking about Nintendo Switch. First, of course, I want to introduce you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show at vognetwork.com, vognetwork.com. And YYR pointing out in our chat, Aggressive Retsuko is freaking hilarious. You can find them on YouTube, though filters are often applied to avoid copyright strikes. Yeah, I see that stuff. Like, they'll flip the image, or they have a different aspect ratio or something.
I put a link in the chat room to where I've been watching them all.
Mm. JD in chat brings up Mag West. Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I do want to attend Mag West for sure. I can't remember if they were that was April or August. I think it's August. Yeah, it's August because I remember thinking, oh gosh, I hope that's not the same time as Dragon Con, but it's like the week before. So that's going to be a pretty crazy time, but bring it on. Bring it on, I say. All right, off to the Nintendo Switch. So, Loki.
Yes.
I know the longtime listeners are, you know, you've always been a critic of Nintendo, but it's not, you know, and again, I'm going to start off by saying this because I want to reinforce Jason's message of positivity at the top of the show, which I think is a good way to start 2017. I don't think anybody here hates Nintendo, but in fact, we love Nintendo, and it kind of, it's hard sometimes to watch them make what we view as careless mistakes. Would that be a fair way of putting it, Loki?
A blatant oversight.
Yes. Some oversight. Dark Sakura?
The moment you said careless mistakes, I now want to hear the forthcoming rant with Careless Whisper playing in the background.
I can make that happen. So let's see. So, Loki, if you were to... We use grades at VogNetwork.com, A through F. How are you feeling about the Nintendo Switch after everything you saw earlier this week?
I don't know. Like, I made the... You know, the quick decision to go ahead and pre-order one while I decided if I wanted it or not, because I figured it's going to be a clusterfuck trying to secure a pre-order. And it was, I mean, because they were pretty much like, oh, hey, it's up for pre-order and, you know, gone in like an hour, you know.
Yeah, I was lucky to get one on Amazon.
Like they opened it up at midnight. It's like, okay, yeah. Geez. Like,
which I was like, yay, they opened it up while I'm still awake. But then I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my God, East Coast Twitter is going to be pissed in the morning. Like that was a weird time for them to turn the Switch. I mean, because the East Coast kind of got screwed in that, unless you're a night owl over there. But anyway.
Well, and that's the thing, as I was going to wait for Amazon to stay up and do that, but then like, I had to go to sleep. I'm like, okay, well, it's almost midnight. They haven't put it up yet. Everyone else has. I'm just going to go to sleep and wake up tomorrow. And sure enough, midnight, they put it up and it was gone. And so I ended up ordering it at Target or something like that. Mm. And that's where I have it right now. But I don't know. And then, of course, GameStop opened up more pre-orders, but they're forcing those bundles and stuff like that, which I was actually okay with picking up one of them because the price difference was about $10 and it came with two games. Aside from Zelda, which I was going to get anyways. But then, like, when I went to order it, it was already gone. So they only had, like, $600 bundles. I'm like, no.
So if you put in a pre-order, you must be feeling some sense of desire for the system. There must be something you
like. But here's the thing. Okay, so I like the fact that there's going to be... I like what the new Mario looks like, and I like, you know, the Mario Kart and all that stuff. And Zelda. I mean, Zelda looks fantastic. But then I really thought about what am I going to do with this? Okay, so like, for example, Mario Kart 8. It's basically Mario Kart 8 that was on the Wii U, but they added a couple more characters and fucking fixed battle mode, which should be a fucking patch to the original game. It shouldn't be its own game that I'm paying $60. $60 to, you know, pat them on the back.
Do we know that that's the final price for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe?
I'm pretty sure that's $60.
Well, but we don't. I want to see the receipts. Is it on Amazon pre-order?
Knowing Nintendo, it's $60. They're charging $50 for 1-2 Switch, which is a piece of shit.
Well, that's I have some strong feelings on that.
So
anyway.
They're charging $50 for that. So sure as shit, they're going to charge $60 for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe or whatever, which adds no extra tracks. No tracks whatsoever. It's just fucking battle mode, which should have been the way it was
but
in
battle
the first
tracks.
Place.
Battle tracks, right? Because there was talk about like Luigi's Mansion and there's
yeah, the battle mode tracks. Okay. Those are new, obviously, because the way they did battle mode before made no fucking sense whatsoever. And like, why am I patting you on the back for fixing something that was blatantly wrong to begin with? I don't even understand why I would reward you with $60 of my money. And then the other thing I wanted to play was Skyrim, which isn't coming out till the fall. Why am I going to wait a fucking year to play a game that I have right now that I'm playing? And let's be honest, it's Nintendo we're talking about here. You really think they're going to have mod support in that system? Fuck no, they're not, because their system probably won't be able to handle it. It'll be too complex or some shit. I mean,
that doesn't mean people won't find a backdoor.
It doesn't matter. I don't need to find a backdoor. Why should I work on finding a backdoor for their system to play Skyrim that I could literally spend $400 approximately, the price of the system and that, to buy, go towards another laptop to play Skyrim with mods? I mean, why would I want to pay, you know, extra money for that? And then really it came down to, okay, Zelda, looks awesome. You know, I'm sure that, you know, on that system, it's going to be graphically better and stuff. And then I'm finding out that, okay, it runs 720p on the Wii U and 900p on the fucking Switch. I'm like, that's not much better. That's like, it's practically...
I thought they said that Mario... you mean Skyrim is? Because I was like...
No, I'm talking about Zelda. Zelda's going to run at 900p, upscaled to 1080.
Interesting.
On the TV,
I know Mario Kart 8. I know Mario Kart 8 is 1080p, 60 frames a second on the in one player mode on the TV.
But and that's the thing is like games like running portable on the games doesn't it will underclock them and they won't maybe run at 60 frames per second stuff. It's like all these things we don't know about it. And you know, I came down to like I'm thinking, well, what do I really want to play in this? The new Mario game looks pretty nice. I mean, I've skipped a lot of the Mario games, so. Do I really need to pick a system up right now to basically have Zelda, which I could already get on the Wii U? And why am I dropping all this money for, like, no games coming out until the fall? It doesn't make any sense. It's like the 3DS all over again. There's someone that was comparing it to the 3DS. And it kind of feels like that, where it's like, okay, we're launching in March. Zelda's great, but it's not a really solid lineup of titles coming out. And I feel that they're going to, like, in August say... Yeah, we fucked up. We're going to need to drop the price of this. We're going to need to do something, you know, to fix the problem. Because I'm just, I don't know, unless people are really going to get hyped up about these games. But hardware-wise, it sounds cool. Like, I like the idea that, you know, they have this, you know, enhanced rumble and everything with it. And the IR thing looked pretty cool. But they're way too expensive. Like, if I want to buy a second pair of those, that's like $80 for control. I think controllers are expensive now. And that's even more expensive for shit? Fuck that. Well, Why am I doing that?
I kind of get it with the little Joy-Cons because there's a lot of crap in those things. I mean, there's a lot going on with those. I was pretty surprised at what they were packing into that. But $70 for the Pro Controller, that's some side eye right there. That's a little much. That's a little much. And I full-on realize that PlayStation 4 controllers are not much better. They're like $60.
But most of the time, you can get them for $30. You can get them for half price most of the time. And I'm talking like first-party controllers. But that's the thing with Nintendo is it doesn't really drop the price. And then their online plan that they're charging for online. I don't know if I really am down with that. I mean, they really need to show me what they're bringing with it. And that's the problem is when pushed on it, what exactly it's going to be. First off, you know, they're offering... a game each month, which is like kind of on par with the other services that are out there, except those services offer four or more games every month, and it's for only that month. So you get the game, and I'm talking like a virtual console game that's literally less than $5 value or $10, and then they're taken away at the end of the month. You only get it for the month. What kind of fucking back-ass words type of plan is that when they know what the marketplace is? They better not be charging very much for
it. I was gonna say, we don't know what Nintendo's charging for it. Like, I think a lot of people are assuming that it's going to be the same price as Microsoft and Sony, but we don't know what they're charging for it. It could be cheaper, which could position
it could be, or what? And then what am I getting with that? I mean, what
I'm kind of with you that Nintendo really has to convince us what you're getting with that.
They're like putting all their network features on a fucking app for a phone. What the hell? This is a game console. I don't need my phone with me to fucking voice chat. If I want a voice chat, I have fucking Skype I can do that with, or dozens of other apps that I can do that. Why am I going to pay you money to present an app for me that runs on my phone and not on the damn console in the first place to do voice chat for what? For what fucking reason? You know, this is the kind of workaround shit that you'd have to do in, like, Mario Kart now because they're too worried about the kiddies and shit. Is that what it is?
Let me get to some of our chat comments over at live.vognetwork.com, and then I want to get to Dark Soccer's thoughts on this. Going to chat, let's see. Mega Man X400 says, the controllers are really expensive. Like, try living in Canada. $100. Yep, not cheap, that's for sure. Let's see. Maya in chat says, at $299 with no pack-in, we're all paying the early adopter fee. Holiday 2017 will see the Switch at $249 with a pack-in game of either Splatoon 2, Switch 1, 2, or both. I'm kind of with you on that. I think the biggest wince and the biggest like mistake I think Nintendo made in that whole thing is that 1, 2, Switch should be a pack-in game. Like,
it's...
But here's the thing. When people, and I know where you're going with this, Loki, but again, what Nintendo did with the Wii and the Wii U is that they packed in the concept game with the system. And for the Wii, that drove buku bucks because people did not buy a Wii. Many people did not buy a Wii. People bought Wii Sports and the console that you needed to play it on. That's what people were buying. Nintendo Land, lightning didn't strike twice. So I'm a little like, I'm a little thrown off by this 1-2 Switch thing not being included because it does seem like a shoot in the foot move where they're relying on the Zelda thing to push the console and that maybe this 1-2 Switch is going to kind of be that word of mouth party thing.
No.
Maybe? I don't know.
That game is fucking cringy. Like, I was getting cringe.
I can't say that until I play it. I can't say that until I play
Watch the videos. It's enough. Watching their demonstration video is fucking cringy as shit. What kind of games are they offering? We've got table tennis, but guess what you got to do? You got to pretend. You got to pretend that you're playing table tennis. You just swing it to the sound. What kind of game is that?
What about Wii Tennis? That's the same thing.
Yeah, you know what? Okay. Yeah, Wii Tennis is the same thing? No, it's fucking not. You know what the difference is? Rob, okay? If you right now look at me, mm-hmm. and you swing your arm like you're playing tennis, that is the fucking game that's included with that. There is no display that shows players playing tennis. You don't see any sort of connection with your player playing tennis where you see a visual feedback of a ball bouncing around. All you have the Nintendo Switch doing is fucking sitting there as a table
Loki,
picture.
I'm just saying.
Just saying, with the score on there.
I'm just saying, when my friends come over and get drunk, that milking game is going to be the funniest fucking thing that ever happened.
But you know what? There's a million other things. When you're fucking drunk, everything is the most fucking hilarious thing ever. It doesn't fucking matter. Why should I pay $50 for a piece of shit game that promises, maybe if my friends come over and we get drunk, we'll be...
As I recall, one person in this room has been drunk, kicked to the wall, and said he's in the Matrix.
That was how many years ago? What does that matter? What is that relevant
now? Proof.
But seriously,
what people will do when they're drunk, it doesn't matter.
But seriously, what is that saying that, this game will be good when I'm fucking shit-faced? That means it's a shitty game.
Okay, I like this.
That's like how you date people.
I like this comment from Bobby, and then I promise we're getting to Dark Soccer. Loki, zip it for a minute. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Sky, actually, the table tennis game is an audio game. You have to play by listening to the audio. Sturlock might actually love that. Remember our blind gamer that calls into the show sometimes. So... fair counterpoint. All right, Dark Sakura, I'm dying to know your take on this whole thing. So I'm sure you and Dan watched this or the highlight reel or what have you. Where are you standing on this?
I slept.
You slept. Well, where are you at on this?
We're not getting one. We're not pre-ordering one. We kind of don't care.
Why?
Because...
I'm kind of surprised because of the Zelda thing. So you're just opting for Zelda on Wii
U? We're getting it on Wii U.
Okay.
We don't want it on Switch. The whole plan is to pretty much wait for all the hype to die down and get it once there's a decent series of games on it, like we did with the Wii U. We bought the Wii U when there were good games worth having a Wii U for.
So it's kind of what, like, one of our chatters, Maya, was saying earlier, the whole fact that, like, it's almost a given that holiday, the price is going to drop and you're going to get a packing
pretty
game.
Pretty much.
I see.
I mean, and on top of that, too, I mean, I hate to say it, we had too many damn games at my house.
What? Who are you? What have you done with Dark Sakura?
Well,
new year, new you. I don't like this.
The Mario trailer looked fucking bizarre because he's, you know, Mario style in real world humans. No, that looks creepy as fuck. He only looks good in the non-human world. Dan and I were saying this is like fucking Sonic Adventure. It should have been
Sonic. There's a lot of people making that comparison.
There's a lot of Sonic 06 comparisons, which is fantastic.
And then at least five people sent me the link to Puyo Puyo Tetris. And guess what? I have it on PS4. I imported it. Actually, Dan imported it for me for my birthday. Very, very text heavy, but I figured out all the menus, so it's not a big deal. And we played the crap out of that, decided Puyo Puyo mode was more fun than Tetris mode. You know, and in Versus, Dan somehow liked the Tetris one. Anyway, it's a good game. Good game. Worth having. I'm glad it's getting a US release. Not enough to make me buy a Switch. And like I said, we're getting Zelda on Wii U so that I can actually, you know, play it on my Pro Controller. I don't think we have a Pro Controller yet. No, I think we do. Anyway, I've got options. None of those other things coming out are things I give a crap about. So if I, one, don't give a crap about it, and number two, like saving money, what's the logical decision? Don't spend money on something I don't need. Don't spend money on something that won't enrich my life. I would rather buy myself, well, I'm going to be buying another Apple Watch anyway, but I would rather spend that money on something that's actually going to be useful and then wait until later on when there's going to be more stuff on it that I'm actually going to be interested in and then can justify spending the money on. Why spend money on hype?
Okay, well, since I am going to be spending money on hype, I want to talk about my position on this because I have it pre-ordered twice because I'm nervous that one of those pre-orders is going to be a joke and get yanked away because I was that paranoid about this whole limited quantity situation. But obviously, I'm only going to get one of them. Although I'm holding on to the second pre-order because maybe I'll have a friend that's like, I didn't get on it right away. So I'm going to wait to see how that plays out. But for the most part, I did pre-order one. I plan on getting one. I'm viewing it as a portable, and I realize that Nintendo is telling you something different. I don't really care. I'm looking at it as a portable, and I love it a whole lot more than when I look at it as only a console. When I look at it as a portable system, I get really excited about the potential to take this Switch over to, let's say, Flocko and his wife's house with Shane there or something like that, and we both have our Switches, you know, and it's not like having to like unplug a completely different PlayStation 4 and all this stuff, which doesn't even support that type of LAN gaming very easily anyway. So the Switch is going to make this, you know, in-house, on the same network gaming very, very easy. And so I imagine that, okay, it's going to be very easy for me to just pick up the Switch, go to somebody else's house, and we can play like four-player Splatoon in the same place. Like, having just come back from MAGFest, like, I am fucking excited about next year's MAGFest and the fact that most of my friends that are going are probably going to have Switches and some of the epic games that are going to happen because Nintendo really does know how to make those multiplayer games. And I think things like Mario Kart, Splatoon, and yes, even though it's Mario Kart all over again and the same, the portable element and this new element of being able to have the multiple screens in one place where many people are playing, that's going to be a huge deal. And then, you know, stuff like Splatoon and whatever else Nintendo announces for the holiday, because I don't think we're done with 2017. I don't believe that the Mario game is the only game Nintendo's putting out this holiday.
Oh, I'm sure they'll announce more ports of Wii U games. It might be slightly added.
That might be where Smash Brothers is, but it's still, even if it's Smash Brothers on those screens, that's still going to be a big deal. Again, because Smash Brothers on the 3DS, not so great. Smash Brothers on the Switch, I think, has the potential to be awesome. And that's really what the system does for me, is that potential of being able to really get up and go. And it's just, it's very different from the 3DS, like, because there are these, you know, larger, well, the only slightly larger screens, to be fair, but the way it's just kind of designed to set up, it's very good for like a hotel room type of gaming, or, you know, a living room thing where everybody's sitting around. I'm reminded of one of my first experiences, my very first experiences ever, when I met Dark Sakura, and I was actually at her house.
Oh.
And they were having a local area Nintendo party, a LAN party. And everybody, you know, keep in mind, this was, I've known Dark Sakura a long time, right? Because we've been doing this show 15 years.
This was like in 2002.
I think
when
it was.
I had the house.
It was around the time when I lived at Bomani Melrose Place. That was the end of 2001, right? Where if we had a pool, somebody would have got pushed into it with all the drama.
Yeah.
So, okay, that was the end of 2001. I'm pretty sure this was around that time frame. So I went over there, and Dan was there, and all his buddies, maybe Mystique and people like that, people that our listeners have no idea who these people are, were all sitting there, and you had like, three TVs in the living room. There was like one TV back in your room, and like all these people were there.
There's one in the kitchen.
And you guys were like, I don't know if you were speed running, but you were having like a Zelda competition to see.
They're having a Zelda race.
Who could get from the beginning of Zelda to the end the fastest. And that was like, that was.
Which Dan won.
But that was when I knew, by the way, for anybody who wants to know the history of this show, that's when I knew Jamie was my people. Was when I saw that whole thing going on. And I'm kind of like, this, for me, the Switch is a little bit of that experience. I don't know. So I'm jazzed about the potential, but that's not that I don't have my concerns. I do certainly have some concerns. I think it's weird that Nintendo's not talking about Netflix type of stuff and app support, because I think that is important in this day and age of consoles that we live in, whether they be portable or in the same room. I already expressed my concerns with 1-2 Switch. I think that was a really bad move to not include 1-2 Switch with the Switch. I think that is a really, really bad
move. I thought for
move.
Sure when they showed it that was going to be the packing game.
I thought for sure, too. And I just don't think it's a smart idea to not put any type of packing game at all for a concept console such as the Switch. But I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes for them. The March launch is going to prove to be interesting, too. You know, we've been talking a lot about the launch lineup and all this stuff. What does 2017 look like? You know, and I think this console is breaking a lot of our traditions, what we expect, because this isn't November. And I feel like Nintendo's going to drop this in March, but it's going to be a slow race until how does this thing really sell during the holiday? You know, and that's why I'm curious to see what kind of stunts Nintendo's going to pull out at E3 for the holiday season. You know, and unlike you guys, I was really into the Mario thing. I love the name, by the way. Mario Odyssey, I love that name. And I was kind of digging
it. Is he going to require that all of Peach's suitors shoot an arrow through keyholes to prove that, you know, he's only the real Mario? Or is he, you know, or is their bed made out of a tree trunk?
Super Mario Odyssey of the Mind.
I'm actually referring to the Odyssey.
I know you were. Anyway, let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Mega Man X400 says, "It's okay, Sky. Don't let them rain on your parade. You enjoy that Switch. Don't let them come for you." I'm not, because everybody's allowed their opinion. And like, even though Jamie says she's not getting a Switch, like, I actually completely understand that viewpoint where she's looking at it going, of these five games that are coming out the first day, I don't need to drop the money on it. So I'm going to wait and see if the deal gets sweeter come Christmas time.
I feel like I've gone up like 5 points and grown up, and it sucks.
Well, I feel the same way. I mean, it's just like...
To be fair, there is a bit of, I'm a gamer and I have to have all the toys coming into play. Like, if I was a more rational human being, I might be looking with similar eyes the Dark Soccer is. But
I'm not. Here's my worry, okay? My worry is, I think the third-party support is still going to be very fleeting on the system. I just don't think that, even though EA was there talking about FIFA, which it was fucking awkward as shit, I just don't think it's going to be there, aside from you're going to have the typical Ubisoft fair and all that. But it's just going to, it's going to come down to the same shit that fucking the Wii U ran into, where, hey, our modern engines don't fucking run on this. And that's going to be a problem. Yes, I understand that you want to be, you're not even more affordable at this point. You're actually more expensive than some systems, which doesn't make any goddamn sense. And yeah, the gimmick that you can take this places and stuff, cool. That'll work for like a successor to the 3DS or something. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day,
which is what this is for me.
Okay, that's cool. But it's never going to perform as well as these other systems because you can't get these other franchises. Granted, yes, the first party titles may help drive the system, but that's all you got because you can't run the Call of Duties or Battlefields or all these other... What happens when the next Elder Scrolls game comes out? You know, they have Skyrim on here right now, but what happens when the next Elder Scrolls 6 game comes out that's fucking fantastic? Or Fallout 5 or whatever the hell the next big thing is going to be? It's not going to run on this. And that's going to... I know people will play it off like, oh, well, whatever. You know, I have another console. But it's going to affect shit because when they're looking at buying consoles... I want the one where all the best games are.
But they'll have the handheld support, and there's some amazing 3DS games, things like Bravely Default, that don't exist on consoles right now. So, I mean, I get what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree. I think Skyrim is a poor choice. But I have heard people say, I'm excited to play Skyrim portable on the go and what have you. I think those folks are probably the minority. I think Skyrim is a choice like releasing Arkham... what was it, Arkham City or whatever, on the Wii U, or Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U. I think, you know, those were bad choices to release last year's games or 6 years ago's games on the Wii U or on
the
Switch.
And here's the other thing now, though. But see, you mentioned Bravely Default. Now you have a system basically that's you're developing for like a console system because that's basically how it's set up. Before, when you're developing for 3DS, to port that to like a console would be a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Now it's not going to be. So what's to say that that stuff only has to go to the Switch? It's going to go everywhere. So why, once again, am I picking up a Switch when it's not going to run the games that I want to play on it?
I can't help but think Pokemon, which is a huge deal in the handheld world. But
once again, that's a first-party Nintendo title. Aside from first-party Nintendo, It's gonna suffer. And let's hope that first party can drive it, because it sure as hell didn't fucking work for the Wii U.
You know what would be kind of cool, though, is if they did a version of Pokemon Go for the Switch that had an AR camera.
See, I'm with you. It would have been awesome to support, you know, Pokemon Go for the Switch, except it doesn't have GPS built into it or data or anything else.
And thank God it doesn't, or it would be more expensive.
No, I don't think it would.
Now,
I have a 50...
Here's my crazy get the tinfoil hat, because if Nintendo is going to be using an app through your smartphone to do the voice chat, couldn't this Switch also use your smartphone for GPS?
No, it can't.
Why not? Because if it can use it for chat, why can't it use it for GPS?
Because GPS doesn't work that way. You can't take a third party source for GPS. You can include
what the fuck is the Pokemon Go Plus?
That's a Bluetooth thing that it has nothing. It's running the app. It's just an extension of the app. It's not that your phone is still running that. All that's happening is you're having some extra feedback coming from an additional device. It's still your app on your phone running that thing.
And couldn't the Switch leverage that the same way the Pokemon Go Plus does?
But why would I even bother at that point? What's the point? It's like having a giant ass like watch or something. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, since you said watch, they do have the Go app on the watch.
It doesn't make any sense. Let's put it this way. I bought my kids like cheap-ass tablets for Christmas, and those had GPS built into it. So you can't tell me that GPS is too fucking expensive to put into this device. It just doesn't make any sense. But whatever. You know what? That's not the direction that they're going. Fine. But I'm worried that it's going to be the whole Wii U all over again, because they're so confident this is different enough. You're underpowering your console again, and it's going to hurt you.
Okay, going to our chat, because I got to get more chat, because you guys are lighting up our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Maya saying, the Wii U never saw Pokemon, never saw Fire Emblem, never saw Metroid, never saw any serious Square JRPGs. The Switch should have all of those. Well, we're getting what? We have the Fire Emblem Musou, which, you know, is or isn't a real Fire Emblem game. But we do see some JRPGs on this thing, right? So, you know, well, there's that. Certainly we got what, Dragon Quest X and 11. Shin Megami Tensei was in one of those reveals. So, I mean, we're going to have some stuff on Switch, so that's good. Let's see. Dungeon Buster in chat says, we'll see if EA and Ubisoft, among others, evaporate their support after a year or two. Yeah, that'll be telling. The FIFA thing, I mean, I know a lot of people probably in the demographic that listen to this show probably rolled their eyes at the whole FIFA thing, but that is the world's biggest game, even more so than Madden, because now we're talking the world, right? So FIFA is a huge, huge game. So the fact that that's on the Switch, that's something. But I'm curious to kind of see, you know, what is the whole element of the portable, and, you know, it kind of, some of those concepts they were showing in that early trailer, people playing on the rooftop and all that, is that really going to benefit FIFA? I'm curious to see how that works out, because that's something that Xbox One and PlayStation 4 can't do,
FIFA,
to be fair.
The FIFA game that's going to be running on this is based off the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation or Xbox 360 versions of the game.
They're still making it for those systems? Wow.
Well,
I guess, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yes, they are updating the rosters for it, but no, it is the version of the game that came out basically in 2012. They haven't updated it since the new systems came out, because the new versions of the game obviously are running on a different engine that, once again, the Switch cannot run.
Let's see. Some folks in chat talking about Ultra Street Fighter 2. Needle Crash says, I'm getting Ultra Street Fighter 2. I was very surprised, but I'm not paying that $40 price tag. So, yeah, the Ultra Street Fighter looked really interesting, except it does just look like that HD remix.
Yeah.
With
two additional
characters
yeah. like just shoehorned in there.
It's like SVC Chaos. Not the best comparison.
You know, if it's $40, I'm certainly not going to buy it. What, the HD edition was only what, like 20? I don't know, maybe. I'm curious about that. Let's see. A couple other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster brings up Xenoblade 2 and Project Octopath Traveler. Those were some JRPGs that were shown for the system. Yeah, I'm really excited about Xenoblade 2, that's for sure. I hope that's a holiday title. They said that was 2017, so that could be another big release for them for the holiday. We'll see. So, anyhow, Loki, we've been bantering a lot in studio about our opinions, and obviously we have some big thoughts here, but I'm curious about any news we might have missed about what's going on the Switch, like that came out of the press conference that we haven't talked about yet. I know one thing, actually, is the whole fact that the Virtual Console games might be online, which I've been hemming and hawing on this show for forever, is something that Virtual Console should be doing. So the fact that that could actually be happening is really exciting to me. And I know some of you are like big effing deal old games, but I'm like, this is going to be awesome that I can play something like Mario Brothers 3 with my friends who live in another state. I love that idea. So I really hope it's true that the Virtual Console games are online. And this is not anything they said in the presentation. They haven't really talked about Virtual Console games. If you go to their website, though, where it talks about the whole one game a month for free, although, yes, it has borders, as we found out, it talks about that the Super Nintendo games have this online capability. But obviously, they're going to need to detail that in the next, 6 weeks before this thing is out? 7 weeks. I don't know. Somebody give me a calendar. But there's not a lot of time before this thing comes out. So I don't know if they're drip feeding information to try to keep the Switch in the news every week. Because that could be something Nintendo's doing where it's like, this next week we'll talk about Netflix. And then we'll talk about the next week Virtual Console. So that way it keeps bubbling up on the gaming press every single week. That could be Nintendo's strategy leading into March 3rd. I don't know.
Or they have no fucking clue on what's going on because what does this networking thing have? Well, stay tuned for some more information.
Dude, you're selling
a console that's coming out in 6 weeks. Have some fucking details already. We've already been waiting how fucking long to find out the details, and like you're dicking me around some more for because oh, I'm sorry, we can't really tell you the details. Ha ha, it's a secret. I mean, fuck you guys. Seriously.
I kind of think since those things have to already be starting on assembly lines, there's some semblance of what's in that operating system. There has to be. We're running out of time. So I do think it's more the drip feed. This is an intentional drip feed of information. Nintendo really wanted to steer the conversation to one place after this reveal with all the press they're going to get, and they're going to continue to drive the conversation where they want it to be. That's how this industry works.
It's fucking dumb. It seriously is fucking dumb at this point that they're going to be doing this kind of crap. But whatever. I mean, people are going to buy the shit out of it because it's Nintendo.
Let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Mega Man X400 says, my point overall is that most core gamers are complaining that this won't have the games they want, yet they probably already have one other console already, probably had two consoles last gen. So what's wrong with owning a PS4 and a Switch? Nothing if you have that kind of money, which not everybody does.
Let me put it this way. Here's what's wrong with that. Because as you get older, like before that, when the Xbox 360 gen, I had an Xbox 360, a PlayStation 3, and a Wii. You realize when you have three systems that you're not playing on all three systems. That's just money basically being thrown away because you end up really gaming on one system or maybe one or two if you're playing those exclusives. Later on, you get smarter and you decide, hey, you know, this gen, I'm not going to buy every single system because you actually sit down, instead of getting caught up in the hype, you look at what's coming out for it and like, listen, most of the games are going to be, on all these platforms except for, this exclusive. What is most important for me to play? And you make your decisions that way because, and once again, yeah, you may pick up a Switch because you want to play some of those Nintendo games, but that's, for me, if I wanted to pick up a Switch, it's the prospect of, hey, I can take games like Skyrim or, these other games on the go and be able to play these. I could, take my console to work and play it on break or something like that. That's exciting, but I'm not going to be able to play the newest Call of Duty on break on that console because it won't run on it or, it's not going to be available for it or it's just going to be Mario games. And why would you argue to try to be the second system in a house? Why would you race to second place? That makes no sense.
Second.
I get you're still the first handheld.
Because everybody else hasn't gotten into the market because tablets are out there because it's maybe not viable for
Sony could have.
Sony still might if this works out for You know what, though? You laugh about that because they tried to make a more compact console before. But if they just said, fuck it, we're just going to make this giant tablet-like console.
To be fair, it is still working in Japan. And I still kind of fail to see this whole disconnect between why the Vita is not being pushed more here. But that's another discussion.
I'm just saying, if they're successful, It's not unlike, you know, Sony and Microsoft to try to copy something. But I think with Microsoft, they wouldn't really do it too much because you have the Surface tablets, which are, you know, kind of the Surface Pros can do some light gaming. So that's almost like this, I guess. You know, you can kind of take it on the go. So that's kind of the equivalent there. Sony doesn't really have anything like that, but I can see them coming out with another handheld system. I mean, who's to say they wouldn't do it if it's insanely popular? I just don't know. And once again, too, you know, remember with the 3DS, they had all these amazing tech pieces that were a part of that. Like a whole, you know, that was the thing that got me hyped about the 3DS was like all this, you know, glasses-free 3D, which is like pretty awesome. And then the AR stuff, which is pretty awesome. And then they just totally put that to the wayside, and it's just a portable system. So, you know, with the Switch, is everybody going to be really taken as a portable system, or are we going to just, like, all these extra features that the Joy-Cons can do, we're just going to say, whatever, we're just going to game on it. And we're not going to do all these waggle games. It's just going to be playing traditional games.
Is that bad?
It's not bad, but once again, then why put all this other garbage into your console that's going to cost extra money? I mean, I don't know. I think waiting might be a good idea, just because I think everything is just too chaotic right now. We don't know what's it's slightly expensive. There's not a lineup of games. It's just I just don't want to get caught up in the hype. And I felt like when I first placed that pre-order, that I was kind of getting caught up in the hype, and I wanted to get it in on that, and I was like super excited. And I started like reading up more of it and just like listening to like the information coming back from it, and like none of this makes any sense. Why am I doing this? I don't know.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Mega Man X400 says, realistically, Nintendo is in last. Should they shoot for first? Yes. Are they going to hit that in one new console? No. So aiming for second might not be bad. Flacco Jones says, I do want a system for Splatoon 2, and Mario looks great. Not that it'll actually come out this year. The Immortal Gamer says, man, I love Loki. Not in that way, LOL. He's very rational where I find most aren't. Let's see. YYR says, I see a lot of folks saying, I'll wait for a non-portable version with a pro controller for $200. And Maya follows that up with, they're going to be waiting a while.
You know what? You say that, but here's my theory. You know, this is a little bit tinfoil hat, but like VR is still in its infancy right now. But that really takes off. You bet your ass you're going to see a fucking portable version of this that's going to be 1080p where they can use VR. Because 720p in VR will look like fucking shit. That's never going to happen. You're never going to be able to have like a device to plug it in and have it look nice. So that's where another version of the system will come into play.
Does Gear VR do 1080?
Gear VR, it's a phone resolution. Phones are over 1080p.
Okay.
I mean, and you know, the resolution's a lot smaller screen. So, actually, yeah, 6-inch screen's going to look really weird on your face anyways, but, you know, let's just say that you did it. The resolution is just not there for VR, so they're not going to be able to do something like that. But if that takes off, that may be something that they look into.
I can see what you're saying. I'm not really interested in Nintendo getting into the VR game. That pool has too many players in it right now, and so I'm not really interested in Nintendo's take on VR right now. Like, I know that sounds kind of... I don't know, but I'm not really interested in Nintendo's take on VR. Like, I want them to focus on building the console and attracting the third parties and, you know, making that console a must-have console that separates itself a little bit from Xbox One and PlayStation 4, where, you know, a lot of the overlap really is. And a lot of that is due to Nintendo's strong first party and the nature that they don't develop for anything but their own console, except now, of course, we have the mobile thing going on, so who knows? I'm very curious to see how that whole thing plays out, where you have the mobile phone and the Switch thing kind of coexisting, because Animal Crossing's future is on mobile device. You know, you didn't hear anything about Animal Crossing on the Switch, yep. And I think that's because it's going to now be the mobile thing.
Which is too bad, because I think it'd be good as a Switch title, but...
I think it would be, but also I'm like, if it's going to be the same fucking formula that it was in 2002, then leave it on mobile devices, because Animal Crossing hasn't changed enough in those years, unless the Switch is like a new take on Animal Crossing.
We haven't mentioned yet the other things that kind of bothered me a bit. 32 gigs of onboard storage. Really?
Yeah, I got to admit, I was not impressed with that either. I mean... I understand that because this uses cartridges, like 3DSs use cartridges, I understand that these things are not going to need to install a bunch of data. Like, I'm not going to
allegedly
have I'm not going to have a 40 gigabyte install like I have on PlayStation 4 of Dragon Age or whatever. Like, that's just not going to exist in this world. So, I mean, there is that. But if you want to download games, where the hell are you going to put them?
Micro SD cards?
Yeah, you're going to have to get a micro SD card.
Which is fine. At least it's not proprietary. That's still an added expense.
And you know what? Nintendo should be applauded for non-proprietary stuff like the micro SD.
Exactly. Sony didn't do that.
USB charging. That's great. And most of all, I think one place where Nintendo should be patted on the ass is the fact that this console is region-free. We haven't brought that up yet. Finally, Nintendo's making the right call in that department. We don't live... I mean, the internet has broken down a lot of these walls. Region-free is the place to be. And this also means Taiko no Tatsujin easily on my Nintendo Switch. So, yay. Although I guess they are supposedly releasing one locally. Taiko Drum Master, I guess, is going to... So you're going to have you're going to have the U.S. version, the Japanese version anyway. But that's very exciting, in my opinion. So, let's see. Alan Alchemy in chat says, it's the year of our Beyonce 2017. Bidding should start at 64 gigs for a budget model. Let's see. The Immortal Gamer says, I'm still smarting for my PlayStation VR purchase. Wonder what I'm going to do with the thing. ActDev says, wait, there's going to be a localized version of Taiko for the Switch. Don't quote me on it, but I thought I heard somewhere that there is going to be a U.S. version and a Japanese version. But even if there's not a U.S. version, the good news is I can just import the one from Japan. I can get Dragon Quest X from Japan. Not that it's necessarily going to run. And to be fair, they didn't say that region free was going to be like a mandatory thing. It sounds like developers could still lock regions out if they wanted to. Although that's not going to be good press if they do. But with Dragon Quest X being mostly online, I could kind of see it. Who knows? So, anyway, anything else on the Switch that we haven't gone over yet that we need to, Loki?
I'm trying to think here. Well, they announced colors when it came out, so you can get red and blue. Ooh. I have the gray one on order.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are getting the neon red and blue thing, but I'm really bothered by the fact that there's not the consistent color. So I had to get the gray one because it clashes. I don't like that it doesn't match. It's weird. That's my thing. What do you think about the fact that they're not bringing Miiverse or Street Passes to the Switch?
Had I not seen the screenshots or whatever, I think from Mario Kart, I thought that they were getting rid of Miis altogether, which I thought was probably a good thing. Yeah, that is a little weird that they're not bringing Miiverse over.
I'm okay with Miiverse not coming over. Miiverse was an interesting concept, but it wasn't a very easy thing to use. Miiverse is fucking clunky. That's my biggest bitch about it. Like, I should be able to press a button, ba-ding, Miiverse. Like, the way it works in practice is horrible. Just like when I bring up my Twitter feed on my smartphone, I hit a button and it's up in under 5 seconds. Like, that's what needs to happen with Miiverse, and it doesn't. So I think that's one of my big problems with it. But the Street Pass thing, I kind of like that. So I hope that Nintendo has some type of like substitute. Like, I like the idea of you get data from other people that then can be imported into the games.
Are we still doing friend codes?
Let's hope not. I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, I would say the reason why I feel that we're not is because
they're the only ones that does it.
Well, but if you look at what they're doing on the mobile devices, you connect through Facebook or Twitter and you can find your friends and add them. You don't need any type of code. And I feel like that could be where they're going with the Switch, is that they're just going to leverage existing social media as opposed to trying to create their own.
I hope
so. I really feel like that's where that's going. So, let's see. I'm trying to think if there's any other news.
Battery life, was it 2 to 6 hours, depending on what you're running? Which I think's all right.
Yeah, I guess that's okay. I mean, that seems like comparable to a 3DS. Maybe you're getting a little less life, but...
I mean, that's also going to be something that can be solved with third-party accessories as well. Then I haven't really seen a lot of details, but I know that, you know, with it running off the battery versus plugged in, there's definitely frame rate issues with that. So I don't know.
Can we talk a little bit about Bomberman? Because this is a case of, well, A, it's one of the launch titles on the Switch, and it's Bomberman, and that'll have a lot of people excited. B, it's Konami making a game, which is somewhat, you know, newsworthy in itself. Thoughts on the fact that Bomberman's coming for the Switch? Is this something you're excited for?
Nope, because fuck Konami.
I have to admit, I'm in a similar boat.
It looks average at best, and fuck Konami.
I'm not going to jump in and buy it day one. If it's something where I watch other people play it and they're having a whole lot of fun and really excited with it, I'll reconsider. But because I have hesitations that Konami is incapable of making a good game anymore, I can't say I'm going to jump in and get it day one.
I have Super Bomberman 2 on the Super Nintendo and a multi-tap.
Well,
set.
There's, yeah, and it's not just like the fact that you might have the old stuff lying around, but also the last Bomberman I remember getting that was on Xbox Live or whatever, I don't remember being that great. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be unpopular opinion time. I kind of think Bomberman's one of those things that's kind of run its course.
Well, this one's supposed to have 8-player multiplayer. So
I guess that
people,
could be, all right,
switches,
that could,
I mean,
be cool. That
I
could
guess,
be cool.
But I mean, I don't know. It just, it, no. And even like the new, like Street Fighter, Ultra Street Fighter 2, I'm just like kind of, is that really the best you got? I mean, is that what you're offering? It's like you have a brand new console, let's make a splash with a remaster of a fucking old, I mean, don't get me wrong, Street Fighter 2 is awesome, but come on. I mean, really?
Yeah, what's going to elevate this to 2017?
I mean, you did Street Fighter 4 in the 3DS. I mean, shit, at the very least you could do something.
I'm still happier at Street Fighter 2 than Street Fighter 5.
Well, yes, I know it's not going to be Street Fighter 5, but I'm like, come on, you did Street Fighter 4 on the 3DS. I don't know. It just it seems very silly.
Needle Crash in chat says, former Hudson Soft employees were involved making Super Bomberman R. That's a fair point. They paid the people to do it. So, again, I'll give it a chance. I'm just not buying it day one. I want to, you know, see the live streams, see my friends playing it, see some of that reaction first before I make a decision. I'm not just going to jump in on nostalgia alone because my hate boner for the direction that that company's been going in for a while now kind of exceeds
and
my
to
love
why,
of Bomberman.
To YYR's question, does the Joy-Con have 6 buttons? Yes, all of them do.
There's the tiny, tiny, tiny little L and R.
And my God, was it? The Joy-Cons, you've got the one good Joy-Con and the one janky Joy-Con that has the fucking analog in the middle.
That's going to be interesting, that's for sure. Maya says, can we talk about how insanely awesome that Zelda trailer was?
Yes, that trailer was like awesome.
Yeah, and to maybe end this discussion on a positive note, that trailer gave me a huge nerd boner. It was awesome.
And that was like my complaint, before with Zelda was like some of the footage that they're showing, like how they did like that live footage during, or whatever the last like live thing that they did where they streamed some like footage of Zelda. And it's just kind of like, well, I've already seen this before, but that trailer was fantastic.
I'm freaking excited about voice acting in Zelda. Hello. That was amazing to hear. Is that Zelda's going to be getting voice acting now?
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's going to be a fantastic, I have no doubts whatsoever that the game is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. All right, well, I think in the interest of time, Darksakura, one more thing?
Well, just something, if we are ending the topic.
Yeah.
There is something that we need to announce as a thank you.
Okay.
To one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave us all this chocolate.
What's that have to do with the Switch?
Because you were ending the topic.
I see. All right.
I was moving forward to thank him before we got into stories.
That's true. Yes. Thank you for when I decided to start a diet 2 days ago. Thank you for drowning us in chocolate. Although
I'm eating one of these right now.
I will say what's amazing is that there's actual Stroopwafel in there. Not the liquor that we were having on the Christmas show, but actual Stroopwafels. And that made me go, ee! So, oh wow, even Loki's taking something. I never see
him. I'm just looking.
I never see him pull from the food pile. He's a picky eater.
Yeah, banana. What's this? Banana?
Banana.
The banana is like a banana cream, and it's super good.
That sounds amazing. Can't wait.
What's this stuff?
All right. let's get into how was your gaming week. We usually like to do this towards the top of the show, talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Darksakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
Well,
just a lot of World of Warcraft?
Pretty much. I haven't really had time for much else. And so not really even a lot of it, just a decent. Been playing that and then been watching Awesome Games Done Quick.
Oh, yeah, that was fun to watch this week.
Yeah. Save the animals.
which they did. That was the winner. That was interesting to see how that whole bid war played out there.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they, because I had forgotten all about the Crouch trick for Mother Brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then remembered that, like, I found that by accident years and years ago, but it's awesome. It's a good trick.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I tried to place, purposely, because my gaming weeks in the last few weeks have been just pretty much the similar. So I tried to play different things this time. I actually played a little bit of PlayStation VR. Actually, most of the PlayStation VR that I've been doing is because my wife's been hogging the TV, so I've been using the play Skyrim on because it works as a second screen, except, my God, can we already fix the stupid screen drifting problem already? Like, I hate having to recenter that thing, like, every minute or so. It's just irritating. But other than that, it works all right, and it works great as a screen. I tried this one. They had, like, a little free, I guess it's like a video or something called Gary the Gull, which is kind of funny. I tried that out. It's pretty neat. He basically is a seagull that's trying to get you to look away so they can eat your food. So I thought that was kind of cute, and it was free. What else? I started Day of the Tentacle Remastered, since that was one of the free games that we got with PlayStation Plus this month. So, I apparently remember quite a bit of that game, and I'm almost already finished with it after just... I couldn't remember how short of a game that is. So I'm, playing through that a little bit. It's still pretty funny. I tried playing with the developer's commentary on, and that got irritating really fast. So I had to shut that off, unfortunately. What else? Skyrim Remastered. I actually finished the whole Dawnguard stuff, or at least the main quest line Dawnguard. And I've been going through now the main quest line and Dragonborn. So I'll be doing that. And then what else? I've been mobile wise. I was watching this video. It was from some YouTuber. I'm trying to remember the name of their show. It's something with skeletons. I don't remember the name of it is, but it's a video game show. But they had mentioned, they're all, yeah, at least it's not like that EDF Tapper game that you're playing. I'm like, EDF Tapper game? What? And sure enough, there is apparently an EDF Tapper game that's the phone.
Oh, it's your two favorite things.
I was like,
had a baby.
Exactly. So, of course, I had to download it. It's Tap Wars, Earth Defense Force 4.1 or something like that. And it's pretty stupid. And the way they programmed it, of course, you got to love Sandlot. Sandlot, they make their games are glitchy as shit. And it has not changed one bit on mobile. It is just. The game is all 2D. It has 2D sprites, and I don't know how they got it to run so terribly, but whatever. It's Earth Defense Force, and it's also super easy to cheat in because they didn't put any checks whatsoever. It's like why am I not even going to buy any of your stuff because it's just ridiculous. I can just time warp 36 years back and forth and get tons of money. But, I mean, it's still a little time waster. It's kind of fun. And then what else I play? I play a little bit of... Ingress, not too much, though. I've been kind of getting burnt out a little bit on that. And then Pokemon Go, I occasionally opened it up, but I haven't really been playing anything on that. Trying to think if there's anything else I played. I know I tried playing some other PlayStation VR games. Oh, Bound. I tried playing Bound. That game is really weird, except for their camera in that game is shit. Because you have to basically babysit the camera, because you can kind of rotate the camera around your character, but it stays fixed in that one spot. So you constantly have to keep refreshing the camera over and over to get the fall of your character, and just trying to make jumps and stuff with that is really frustrating. The game is gorgeous, but it's confusing as hell what the story is in it. I don't know. It was one of the games I got cheap on one of the flash sales or something, but in PlayStation VR, it's pretty cool. But like I said, the camera is just absolutely terrible. I don't know what the hell they were thinking when they made that. That's it.
Were they thinking?
It does not make any sense. It really doesn't.
Well, before I talk about my game of week, I do need to mention I ate some of that banana chocolate thing. That's amazing. So thank you, Martin, for sending that to us. I love bananas. So yeah, yummy. Anyway, Let's see. My gaming week. So I need to talk about MAGFest because, you know, I went to this little gaming convention on the East Coast that was the reason why I wasn't here last week. I had a great time at MAGFest. I was a little disappointed in myself because I didn't force myself to play. You know, we weren't doing the video stuff this year because Bobby couldn't make it. And so I didn't really force myself to play enough of the indie stuff. And every time I was in that area was late at night because that's the best time to do the arcade stuff is like 1 or 2 in the morning. And thankfully, since my body was kind of on West Coast time still, I found myself over in that area at like 3 in the morning and stuff. But like none of the indie people were there and I wouldn't expect them to be. So unfortunately, I kind of missed out on a lot of that stuff. So I apologize. I really should have done a better job trying to find some little gems in the indie thing. But it was just kind of like I was just going and hanging with my peeps that I went to MAGFest with, saw a lot of awesome VOG people and listeners and stuff. Like, for example, SSG 100 Matt had purchased bagels for us from New York, and I thought that was really awesome. I ran into Rama, was there. It was his first MAGFest, and I think he had a pretty good time too. And he swung by the liquor store and got me some Fireball. So thank you, sir. We did drink all that Fireball. It was amazing. It was cool getting to see people. And I did a little more of the concerts this year, actually. I probably saw more bands than I did the first year. They didn't have like the Journey Live or anything, but I still saw some good performances. I saw the Proto Men, and they were a lot of fun. They do a lot of powerful stuff on stage. Thought they did a very good job. Saw the tail end of Bit Brigade when I think they debuted it for the first time, DuckTales. They did the whole play because, you know, they play the soundtrack basically while somebody's speedrunning the game. So, of course, the crowd lost their fucking mind when they started playing the moon. So that was great. So I had a really good time with the concerts. I even saw a couple of panels. I really need to make sure that I get to do a panel next year or something so that the people who wanted to meet up on Twitter and stuff, we have a date and a time and a place to do that because I know I missed some people on Twitter that wanted to say hello. So sorry for that, but I will be back certainly. As long as finances are good and everything, I'll be back for MAGFest next year so we can try it all again. And then, of course, MAGWest, as somebody pointed out in chat, is coming this year, and certainly I'll be going to that as long as I can juggle that and Dragon Con. That might be pushing it a little bit, but really looking forward to that. So yeah, I had a great time at MAGFest. As far as games go, a lot of the same stuff I've been playing, like Pokemon Go. I've been really, really playing more of that. Like, I'm actually doing gym battles now because I found it's pretty decent XP. So I'm almost level 27. I'll probably hit level 27 tomorrow if I go on another walk. And that's been good, too, is that Pokemon Go has really been incentivizing walking, obviously, for egg hatching and just in general catching Pokemon. So trying to get more into doing regular walks thanks to Pokemon Go, and I think that's been a great thing. Almost level 27 in that, so that's exciting. I've also been playing a brand new game for me on PlayStation 4, and this was a game where I really didn't like the demo, and I said, I'm not going to buy this game because the demo is garbage. But then a lot of people on Twitter are like, this game's really good. I love this game. It's a lot of fun. And then, you know, I was kind of asking people, so is the demo a good representation? And everybody said no. And then I saw the game was on sale, and I said, all right, what the hell? I'm going to play World of Final Fantasy on PlayStation 4. It was the new game I checked out this past week. And, yeah, they're right. The demo was not – here we go again. Another JRPG like Ni No Kuni with a shitty demo. But the game itself is much better, gives you the better exposition that you need to understand. Why do you stack units on your head? And explaining a lot of that and, you know, kind of ramping up. And I don't understand why these demos are not just like the first hour or two of the game. But anyway, so if you haven't played World of Final Fantasy, it's kind of two new characters that get involved where they are. It's kind of like it's almost mixed with Kingdom Hearts because they're going through these doors to these different worlds that are tied to old Final Fantasy games. Like in the very beginning of the game, you're in Cornelia from Final Fantasy 1, and you actually are working with Princess Sarah and the Warrior of Light from that game. And so you, you kind of do little dungeons and fights. The thing that really surprised me about World of Final Fantasy is that for a game that looks very chibi and cartoony and is kind of like a side game, I was like, the difficulty is kind of tough. Like, I actually lost one of the big battles the first time. I lost two of the big battles the first time I did them because you really have to think about, like, what strategy you're going to use in the battle, and you can't just go in there and mash A and expect to win. I've been enjoying World of Final Fantasy. I'm not sure I love it because my whole like obsessive need to collect everything is kicking in, and it's kind of a pain in the butt to collect some things because it's not just like Pokemon. You can't just throw Pokeballs at whatever you want. Like, you have to what's called create a Prismatunity, where you can throw the Prism Ball or whatever it is at it. And sometimes you can create the Prismatunity by just attacking it. But like, I'm in an area now where you have to do fire damage to create the Prismatunity. Well, that's great, except the monsters that I've been leveling up and using, none of them know fire. I have ice, I have earth, I have wind, I don't have fire. So
you have no Captain Planet yet.
No, so I've got to go back now and level something that does have fire so I can catch these. So that whole micromanaging stuff is just going to annoy the crap out of me. I know it, but I like it enough. It's a nice little time filler until, you know, things like the Switch and Mass Effect Andromeda come out. let's see. Alan Alchemy in chat says, World of Kawaii Weeaboo Desu Desu. Yeah, that would be the other thing I would say about the game is that it's the most weeaboo thing I think I've ever played. Like, it's just, like, the writing and the tropes is just so light. Like, my eyes were rolling so hard I could see my brain. It's like, okay, you ready for an old OLR reference? You ready? It's like somebody let the 23rd Magus write this game. You know what I mean by that, right, Dark Sakura?
Yes.
And I don't even mean him by his new name. I mean the old school 23rd Magus. Anyway, let's see. Maya in chat says, World of Final Fantasy is cute as hell and got completely swept aside by Pokemon Sun and Moon. Well, to be fair, Pokemon Sun and Moon is probably the better game at the end of the day. But World of Final Fantasy, I misjudged it on the demo. But if you're going to put a demo out there, you have to realize a lot of people are going to judge the game based on the demo. So it's no excuse for a crappy demo. But if you did play the demo and you didn't like it, maybe check out a live stream or a YouTube, something that's going to give you a better sense of the game, because I think World of Final Fantasy probably deserves a little better than the demo it got. All right. Housekeeping. I don't have a lot to say. We don't have any shows off scheduled because convention season's finally died down a little bit and we just had a nice big break, so we should be here for the weeks to come. So I will just say, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. We're on Google Plus as well. If there's a social network that you use that we're not on, let me know and we'll get there. I guess we don't have Snapchat. That's one thing I've been using. I use it personally, but we don't have an OLR thing on Snapchat. So maybe that'll be in the future. Who knows? Anyway, let's get to some other gaming news. Yes, other things happened this week that weren't necessarily the Switch, right, Loki?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it was pretty much just the Switch this week. So, Reggie, when asked, you know, because of the Switch stuff, so what's going on with the NES Classic Edition? Well, he says stock is going to be getting better. They're not going to have shortages on the Switch like they did with the Classic Edition, but they're going to be continuing to get it back in stock, which actually I do have to pick up one, which I think we have another story regarding my motivation of why I want to pick up one now. But yeah, so apparently we'll have to see whether that actually ends up changing. I don't know.
I have to admit, especially now that I'm on board with the Switch, I'm going to just totally pass on this NES Classic. I really don't need one at this point, you know? And I kind of felt that way anyway towards the end of last year, but I was like, well, maybe if I come across one, I'll buy one.
No, it's funny. As I was watching the TaskBot section of AGQ, Awesome Games Done Quick, mm-hmm. And they were saying that the Classic Edition is actually a Linux PC that's running some sort of shell and stuff on it. And so the way the controls get translated, it actually takes the classic Wii controls or whatever and converts them into Xbox buttons because that's how it's built into the Linux thing, which I thought was funny.
That is funny.
So,
pretty cool. Did they say at all, like, how they know they're not going to have Switch supply problems? Because I'm kind of like, prove it, you know? But Then again, I was able to pre-order two consoles, so I guess that's already better luck than the NES Classic.
So here's their excuse, which makes no goddamn... Well, it makes goddamn sense, but it's also a terrible excuse. So he's basically saying that...
It makes sense, but I don't like it.
It makes sense, but this is the fucking line that they give us, and I don't believe it at this point. Basically said, you know, with the Classic Edition, that the global demand was well in excess of anything they had anticipated. So they had only expected 30 to 40-year-olds to pick up the machine.
Really?
And a lot of other people did. Which I say to that, even if you only thought 30 to 40-year-olds were picking up the system, you still didn't put enough fucking systems out there. Because how many 30 to 40-year-olds do you think are fucking out there? I mean, really. It's a bunch of shit.
Hello, look at this show.
Come on. This is what they say every fucking time a system comes out. Oh, we didn't anticipate the people would like the thing. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Does this mean they are going to over-anticipate the demand of the Nintendo
Switch?
No,
they won't. No, they won't. They will under-anticipate it again because they're like, oh, but we didn't know it was going to be so successful.
You knew.
If only we knew how successful all of our Nintendo products were. I mean, they'll just pat themselves on the back and pull this shit. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe there won't be a huge shortage because there's not any games coming out for it.
Holiday, again, I still
holiday,
think...
Holiday, that's still how many months away? Yes.
We'll
yes,
see.
Yes, over 10 months away.
Let's see what happens at E3. Anyway, here's a game that won't have any shortage problems because it got canceled. Nobody's going to play it. I think Microsoft can probably thank Nintendo for shifting the conversation at the end of the week. So maybe people will forget how much it stings that they heard that Scalebound was canceled. That's right, Scalebound, Platinum Games developed action RPG that was shown off at E3, has been canceled. It's not going to happen. So folks that were really excited to see this title on the Xbox One were understandably a little upset. Anyhow, Microsoft did say, quote, after careful deliberation, Microsoft Studios has come to the decision to end production for Scalebound. We're working hard to deliver an amazing lineup of games to our fans this year, including Halo Wars 2, Crackdown 3, State of Decay 2, Sea of Thieves, and other great experiences. Hey, did you hear that, Loki? Crackdown 3 is going to happen this year, finally.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'll believe it when I see it.
Unfortunately, Scalebound will not be. And it's not just the fact that they canceled Scalebound, but Microsoft's actually, like, yanking trailers. And they're actually, like, pulling Scalebound stuff. And all the stuff that was officially out there is getting rid of it. Now, obviously, once on the internet, always on the internet. And a lot of gaming sites are just, you know, are reproducing the trailer this week for everybody to experience disappointment in knowing that they're never going to play this game. Anyway, so there it is. Scalebound got canceled. Thoughts? Loki, was that something you were interested in, Scalebound? What about you guys in chat? You weren't interested in it?
No, I thought it looked like some weird Devil May Cry dragon game.
I thought it was interesting, but I'm not surprised.
Why not?
It's a new IP.
Mm.
So if it doesn't already have the interest behind it that making more sequels do, what's the point?
Well, but it is Platinum Games who, you know, at least they kind of have that record behind them. So, but I don't know. I mean, again, it, you know, whatever rumors or things you want to believe, but it sounds like Microsoft's aggressive production schedule and tactics may have not meshed well with Platinum Games and the way they've developed for other consoles in the past. Who knows? Let's see. Stoppy in chat says, wasn't interested in Scalebound. Looked like a poor man's Xenoblade. Dungeon Buster says, sad news about Scalebound. It was Kamiya's passion project. Yeah, and, you know, as much as I'm like, oh, bummer, because I would have liked to see more, like, Japanese-developed things on Xbox One, because it's where it's sorely lacking. I also really tried not to buy into the hype too much, and you notice this is something I've, you know, been learning to do in games, is to try not to buy into hype of games that are not going to be out for four more years too much, because things change, things get canceled, and so forth. So, you know, and I'm not perfect. I still get suckered into hype once in a while, but I tried very hard to not get my hopes too up for Scalebound based off a trailer or two. I mean, did we ever really see gameplay from Scalebound?
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
I just don't remember it. I mean, there's just been
so much. It was the last E3 that they showed that.
All right, well, that's...
I don't remember if that was last year's E3 or the year before that, but we did see it.
Okay. Well, not that would necessarily match what ends up in the game. I mean, look at No Man's Sky, Final Fantasy 15. You know, those things change. So, and Bobby Blackwolf saying there was co-op gameplay at this year's E3. It had 4-player co-op against a boss. So, all right, it's just one of those things I just forgot, which I guess happens. So, all right, but Scalebound, unfortunately, not coming out for those that were looking forward to it. Dark Sakura. Hopefully this game doesn't get canceled, right?
Mass Effect Andromeda. A
little late now to cancel that.
Yeah, well, if they do, I will go to Montreal and scream in French. I would have to go look back up how to scream the insults I'd want, but I'm sure I could remember. So, the first thing that a lot of people care about, banging. Banging's supposed to be pretty good.
Dark like Sakura?
Who am I fucking in Mass Effect Andromeda?
Everyone. The question was put in Twitter is who you could bang, and the reply was so many, and the banging is pretty good.
So they're taking the Saints Row approach. I like it.
Let's bone some aliens.
I would like to play a Mass Effect where I can bang more than one person too.
I'm sure you'll be able to.
That would be fun.
Yeah. But here's what we know about Andromeda so far. It will be quite cinematic. Quite cinematic.
No shit.
And it takes place between Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Okay.
As we know. New characters, of course. We have new leads. And your ending in Mass Effect 3 doesn't matter. Because they're not going to be there for it. So it doesn't matter if you picked which space magic ending happened. Mm-hmm. Space magic happens. Just deal with it.
And I don't think this is spoilers when this is the whole concept of the game. But isn't the whole idea that somewhere between Mass Effect 2 and 3, humanity or I guess, you know, the alliances out there in the galaxy said, what if the Reapers do win this and put a bunch of people on a ship and flung them to the Andromeda Galaxy 600 light years away where they could basically continue humanity just in case the Reapers did wipe everybody out.
Yeah.
Mission objective, continue humanity. Bang as many people as you can.
It's like the plot of that Matthew McConaughey movie from a couple years ago. Now, that was a spoiler, by the way. Sorry.
I don't know that movie.
It was interesting.
Bang ring.
Was he perhaps driving in a Lincoln in that movie?
No, he was hiding in a bookshelf the whole time, come to find out.
He was fucking the bookshelf.
Actually, yeah, kinda, yeah. But again, I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't seen it. But it's been out for like.
I still haven't seen it, but
time's up on spoilers.
I don't even know the name of the movie you're talking about.
I think Interstellar, was that it?
It was Interstellar. Yeah,
that's it.
Wasn't Matt Damon in that one? And did he also need to be rescued?
Yes. Now I could get really spoilery if you want, but some listeners might start getting pissed off. Like, hey, that was my
so anyway, too. Multiplayer is coming back for Mass Effect Andromeda, but it's going to be more like how it works in Dragon Age Inquisition. Where you can have your multiplayer characters do missions. And you actually do have the ability to do multiplayer, but it's not going to be as intensely the way it would affect the campaign like it did in Mass Effect 3. Also, you have destructible cover in the game. So your cover can get shot to pieces and you have to move. And banging.
I was going to say the multiplayer isn't as intense. Because it's just the banging. It's a rhythm game, yeah.
Little did you know, though, it is going to be coming out for the Nintendo Switch, and it's going to focus on the multiplayer mode where you basically milk each other with those HD Rumble controllers over and over again. I think I saw some YouTube or something where somebody was doing that and like playing in the actual Switch demo and went like, this feels like jacking somebody off. And I was like, we're all thinking it, girl.
Well, rather than go through all the stuff that we really do already know, is the one thing that they showed in one of the previews was how the class system works, that you can switch your classes on the fly. And that's pretty cool. That's very useful.
Do you do a costume change when this class switch happens?
Yes, you turn into Sailor Moon.
And I hope you do a twirl and that, you know, J-pop plays while the whole thing's happening.
And then there will be crafting.
Stoppy in chat says, in space, no one can hear you moan. Wouldn't that actually be in space? No one knows you're coming.
And they said something about the ending being a very big surprise, oh. as in not having the paths when they were asked about it. So who knows? Maybe it'll be more subtle. And yes, I did ignore the question.
They're all pregnant. You have to all pay child support for all of those babies. Surprise.
Congratulations. You got everybody pregnant.
I know. They do have Krogans. Anyway. Although technically that Krogan would be around them and not have been present for the genophage cure. Oops.
I'm gonna say, now keep in mind, the game isn't out, so we have no idea what the ending actually is. You ready for my, y'all wanted a twist, eh? You ready for my twist ending for Mass Effect Andromeda? Okay. It's going to be like the ending for Enterprise. The whole thing was a fucking holodeck simulation. That's going to be the ending of the game.
So when was that coming out again? Was that a March title?
Yeah, end of March. March 21st. So it's like 2 or 3 weeks after the Switch.
Oh.
Yep. So I don't think it's getting canceled now at this point.
Yeah. With
there will be sexin' in outer space.
But with all these like big titles coming out in March and stuff, it's like, who's going to pay attention to the Switch coming out? I mean...
Well, I figure I have a good 3 weeks to beat Zelda, and then that's it. My Switch will be used if I'm going to go to somebody else's house for like a party type thing or something, but I wouldn't be playing Mass Effect at a place like that anyway. So Mass Effect will be my alone time. That'll be when it's dark in the house, you know, so I can see the stars in outer space. Tiger Call wants to know, will Mass Effect Andromeda have an ED type character?
I'm sure.
Let's see. SSU100 Matt says, Rob, real talk. Finish Zelda. You. Hey, I'm going to try. I beat Final Fantasy 15, okay? I beat a game this year, finally.
There's hazelnut cream in here.
And that's the ending of Mass Effect Andromeda.
I haven't even played Final Fantasy 15 aside from that 5 minutes, and I have had no desire to so far.
That's the ending of Mass Effect Andromeda. They go to the moon, and they find it's made of hazelnut cream. And then Dark Sakura's there just licking the surface. Anyhow, let's move on. Loki, what do you have for us before we get to the classic game of the week?
Some more, you know, comments regarding the whole Oculus versus ZeniMax trial that's supposed to be happening. Oculus made a statement because remember before this, it was ZeniMax saying that they had the hard drives or something and something because of the hard drives that they had a strong case. Well, now Oculus is saying, bring it, bitch. And so they basically said, no, we're eager to present our case in court. Oculus and its founders have invested a wealth of time and money in VR, and we believe that it can fundamentally blah, 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 blah. We're disappointed that another company is using the wasteful litigation to attempt to take credit for technology it did not have the vision, expertise, or patience to build. So we'll see.
I should have had the People's Court theme to play behind you as you were talking
and
about
And ZeniMax
that.
Is seeking $2 billion in damages, which is equal to the amount of money that Facebook got or gave them, which,
So these things almost always end in a settlement, but not this time. Like, this is going to go all the way?
I think this is going to go all the way.
All the way? Judge Judy's going to render a verdict on this?
Yeah, I mean, they were saying, you know, because of the whole hard drive thing, they were saying there's not a line of ZeniMax code or any of its technology in any of the Oculus VR products. Indeed, ZeniMax had never identified any stolen code or technology in any of the Oculus VR products, although ZeniMax had full source of the Oculus VR software for over a year and a half, having received it indirectly from Oculus VR well before it was even released publicly. And could have analyzed it online at any time on, you know, the Oculus developer website. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
William Murderface in chat says, maybe Oculus will also be smart and distance themselves from Palmer Luckey. We can hope anyway. Just make that guy take the fall. Just say it was all his fault.
Well, he's not even involved in the company anymore, so I don't...
He's kind of disappeared recently. I can't imagine why. Anyway. All right. Let's get to the news story to which Loki earlier referred. Before we get to the classic game of the week, this is a good story to lead into it. You know what we say here at Orange Lounge Radio? Hacker's gonna hack. And sure enough, with the NES Classic Edition, guess what happened? One Russian hacker opened the system up and put more games on it. In fact, there's a screenshot floating around out there with Mass Effect 3 and 4. Mega Man 3 and 4. What a twist. You were fucking Mega Man the whole time. Mega Man 3, 4, and 5, and 6, and all these Mega Man games are actually installed on this NES Mini. It was all posted on Reddit in English. And talks about how you do it, where you basically connect the PC via a USB cable to the NES Classic Mini. You boot the NES Mini into the FEL mode. Then you unpack the system kernel, add your ROMs, repack the kernel, and flash the system. Now, doesn't that sound dangerous? That's because it is. And you could fuck up your NES Classic if you do this wrong.
I don't think you would be able to. I think imagine you'd be able to reflash it with, you know, the copy of the whole ROM or whatever. But a lot of people have done it. I want to do it once I get mine.
Now, apparently it tops out at 60 games, the UI for the system.
Maybe, I think you can fit more than that, though. I think they found a way.
There is 512 megs of storage, so you can fit more on there. And apparently modders have already added Famicom disk support. That was going to be my question, is what if you try to put games on here that they didn't put? Because if I remember right, the old NES, from what I remember way back in the emulation days, in college, I used to get more involved with this stuff when the Nintendo emulation was first getting out there, like when Nesticle hit and everybody was losing their fucking mind because that thing ran like flawlessly on a 486. So if I remember right, you have all these different mappers that the old Nintendo games are on. And to emulate different games, you have to be able to reproduce different mappers, basically. A lot of the old Nintendo games run on like the first or third mapper or something like that. But there was a total of like, I think like over 200 mappers. Some of them were for very obscure types of games, like 64-in-1 pirate type games. But I remember some games had really weird mappers. And like Castlevania 3, I think was one of them, where like if you didn't emulate it right, then the vertical level would be all screwed up. Now, granted, Castlevania 3 is one of the games on this thing, right? It's 1 and 2, not 3. Two. Yeah. So, anyway, I would be curious if the system is even capable of emulating everything.
It's a Linux PC. I'm sure they can do something with it.
Stoppy in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, don't worry, you can trust the hack. Since when have Russian hackers done us wrong?
That is exactly what I had been thinking. Right the moment you said Russian hacker, I'm like, fuck.
Anyhow.
Now we can't blame all hackers that are from Russia for stuff.
Now why did suddenly my NES Classic vote in the last election? I don't understand. Anyway.
It doesn't have any internet built into it because, God forbid, we'd ever have the forethought to purchase stuff.
Who knew that Nintendo's forethought of cutting off online was going to save us all? Anyway. Oh, wait. They didn't save us. We're doomed. Anyway. Something else to consider is that when these hackers went in there, well, not when these hackers went in there, but apparently other hackers have found that there was a secret message inside the Famicom version of the NES Classic Edition. That's right, a Japanese modder apparently went into the system and found that there was a cute little message hidden in the coding when they were, you know, getting in there trying to inject whatever software they were going to put in there. And the message said, "This is the Hanafuda captain speaking. Launching emulation in 3, 2, 1. Many efforts, tears, and countless hours have been put into this jewel. So please keep this place tidied up and don't break everything. Cheers, the Hanafuda captain."
Well, you know that Nintendo started off as a Hanafuda manufacturer.
Which are playing cards in Japan, if you didn't know that. But yeah.
Very interesting.
It's a cute message, and also kind of interesting that at least somebody over there knew hackers are going to get into this thing. Like, the people developing this knew. They had to know as gamers, like,
I'm surprised
that
no one's extracted the emulator out of this thing, being that it's based off Linux. You would think that they'd be able to extract. I mean, you've got a pretty good emulator for Nintendo titles. I mean, I think people would want to get a hold of that, and they've already kind of exploited it a little bit.
So I think it's really cute that they put this little message in there. So, yeah, that's been making rounds on the internet. You know what else is cute? Is a segment we do here on this show every week, starring the very cute Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, you.
Flatter you'll get me everywhere. This is a segment where Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be checking out this game for the classic game of the week.
Not
but wait
week.
A minute. Wait a minute. Y'all wanted a twist, eh?
Uh-huh.
you've decided new year, new you. So we already talked about the classic system of the week. Mm-hmm. You're not doing that this week.
No. Nope.
But you've decided, you know what? We're going to do, I want to do something different with this segment this year.
We're going into gaming mysteries.
I see. So now I need the unsolved mysteries theme, except I don't have it handy, but.
Ooh, you could play spooky.
All right. I don't know if I have that one either. All right. But anyway, so this is a little different. What is
different.
What is the classic game of the week?
Polybius.
Hmm. I don't think I've played that game.
And no one's played that game. It's an urban legend. But it was worth mentioning because it's one of the first gaming-related urban legends. One of them. And basically, the whole thing about the game is that it was rumored to have induced different psychological effects on people, like amnesia, night terrors, and even getting people to stop playing games at all.
So it was Yaris.
Yes, it was Yaris. And they said that it was released in 1981, and then a month later disappeared without a trace. No evidence that it ever existed apart from just people talking about it. And a few other things. Now, the name Polybius comes from a Greek historian. And the historian himself stated that historians should never report what cannot be verified through witnesses. People have to have seen it. So the name itself is its own irony because there are no true witnesses to the game's existence.
Did you pick this because of that thing going around on Facebook where everybody remembers that Sinbad was in this movie that never fucking existed, but people swear up and down they saw Sinbad in a movie that actually starred Shaquille O'Neal, right?
Which movie?
Wasn't it like
Shazam?
Like, everybody is convinced that Sinbad had a version of that called, like...
Did you
like,
see that Victoria met him and asked him about
it? I did, right?
He apparently thought it was funny.
Well, apparently his reaction was he thinks it's funny, and the good old American way that you know Sinbad's going to do, his plan is to profit from it. His plan is to... I don't know. Apparently going to make
It's the same thing as people remembering the Berenstain Bears being the Berenstein Bears. You know.
Are those the same bears that are in the commercials wiping their asshole selling toilet paper?
No.
Are those the Berenstain Bears?
That's the shit stain bears.
Oh.
They voted for Trump too.
Stop it. Polybus.
Anyway, the first documented reference about it was in an anonymous entry into coinop.org. That was published on August 3rd, 1998. It mentions that Polybius had a copyright date of 1981. The authors said they had a ROM image of the game and have extracted text from it, including a 1981 I'm going to mispronounce this because I don't know German very well. Sinneschlosschen. And the remainder of the information was unknown, in the about this game section had the rumors that made up the legend of the game. And then there was also a notice about it having appeared in Portland, Oregon in 1981, and it was so popular that it was addicting, with lines forming from it and people fighting over who got to play next.
Hey, nobody fights in Portland, first off.
This is the 80s. They might have fought. You know, anyway, they also said that the machines were visited by men in black that would get data from the machines to test for psychoactive effects. And people, you know, like I said, they were saying that there was amnesia, insomnia, stress, night terrors. And then that one person became an anti-gaming activist. So basically Tipper Gore played it one day. No, that was the songs. Jack What's-His-Fuck played it.
Jack Voldemort?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the name Sinneschlosschen came from an odd German combination of words, a portmanteau, that combined Sinne, which is senses, and Loschen, which is to extinguish. So it's basically considered a sensory deprivation game. Now... of course, there are the origin of this might come from what was described by an author named Brian Dunning, who said that he thinks that it happened from players in Portland that fell ill on the same day, 1981, when having a migraine after playing Tempest. And another one who played Asteroids for 28 hours in an attempt to break a world record. There are also notices from the FBI that they raided video game arcades 10 days later, but they were looking for gambling machines. And as we know, there's been an ongoing issue, you know, especially in the 70s and 80s, where anti-gambling laws were affecting arcades. Well, we just have the deal with pinball now being available in some areas because of all that. The other thing, too, is that this myth actually might have been the inspiration for The Last Starfighter.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it has a video game that's meant to test the reflexes of somebody to be recruited into the galactic thing. And also it was said that Sinelotion was the kind of word that a non-German speaker would create for something if they were using a German to, an English to German dictionary.
I like that.
So Polybius did get some attention from GamePro back in 2003. That was in an article called "Secrets and Lies." Snopes has also debunked it, apparently. A few other facilities have tried to debunk it, of course. But in the Portland Retro Gaming Expo, October 5th, 2013, there was a...
Always fucking Portland with this game.
Yeah. There was a limited run of a Polybius game that was made to use for the Atari 2600. A guy named Chris Trimlew made it. He is the owner of Lost Classics. And it's basically all DIY. It was based off of descriptions of the game.
So it is a game.
Now it is a game.
I see. Because I was going to say, do you know how hilarious it's going to be that you made a game that doesn't even exist, the classic game of the week before Halo? But this game does exist now.
It does. Well, and
but it's technically not 10 years old because it was DIY in 2013, thus violating the rules.
2003.
Oh, that was 13.
Now, for you PlayStation VR people, there is Jeff Minter announced that he's doing Polybius for PlayStation VR.
And I'm sure that'll be quality.
Well, but it's in VR, so, you know, it might...
So it must be good. Ooh.
It's just a Portland simulator.
But there have, of course, you know, Polybius has been so ingrained in gaming culture, though, even, you know, people who didn't know of the rumor at least recognized the name, and not just people who studied Greek history and philosophy. There was the mention of it in The Simpsons, in the Please Homer Don't Hammer Him episode. There was a Polybius cabinet that was in an arcade and had a single button and printed the words "property of U.S. government." It's shown up in like a couple issues of Batman. It showed up in the House of Mystery, one of Vertigo comics on a T-shirt. It was part of the plot for Doomsday Arcade, which is a series by Escapist magazine. It's even in Hack Slash, Splatterhouse. It's even in Splatterhouse. So, not in Splatterhouse. That issue was inspired by Polybius and Splatterhouse. My apologies. And then there's a modern day sequel to Polybius, that's in a plot of a story called Out of Order, that was again in Portland themed stories called City of Weird. So. One last thing.
Mm-hmm.
In Farming Simulator 17, near Field 1 and 6, there's a broken arcade game that says Polybius is the title.
There it is. Your classic game of the week.
You know what that actually stands for, right?
Huh.
That name stands for multiple Starbucks on different quarters. There's more than one. That's a point.
Wow. Let's see. @Deft in chat says, over at live.vognetwork.com says, it would have been fantastic that Polybius VR released and it had Frog Fractions too. Sadly, that won't be the case. Yeah, if y'all didn't hear, in the past few weeks since we last had a show. Frog Fractions 2 is finally out there in the wild. It's real. The jig is up, all that stuff. So it's hidden in a game called what was it, Glitter Mitten or something? Glitter Mitten Grove.
Yeah,
that's it, on Steam. So which is this whole other simulator game, and then you play that, and there's tricks you do, and Frog Fractions 2 is actually in that game. And do you know what, like, a lot of the early stuff in Frog Fractions 2 is directly influenced by, Loki? ZZT. Like, a lot of the early stuff are like ZZT levels that you play in Frog Fractions 2. It's pretty fucking amazing. So,
well, I posted a link to one of the articles about the game, and it's got some of the pictures of the logo and screenshots that people have supposedly taken. So they've gotten a logo from somewhere, you know. It just seems to me that I think that this is. First of all, if you've ever watched any of that ROM footage that's out, yeah, it would give me a seizure. But it's just too bizarre that it has to be mentioned as a classic game. Because even for a game that didn't exist, it's been a big influence. So,
Dark Tetsuya in chat says about Frog Fractions 2, the easiest way to get it in Glitter Mitten Grove is to type ". I had no idea that was the thing. So all you have to do is type ", and that's how you get into Frog Fractions 2. And SSJ100 Matt says, Frog Fractions 2 is out. Now that this is cleared away, Half-Life 3 can come out. Well, try typing ". in a different Valve game. Try typing ". in Dota 2 and see what happens, the new experience. Just flood the chat with butts, but don't blame us when you get banned. All right, we're going to take a break. We have plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, though, including... Oh, and Dr. Tsuya says you don't need the apostrophe. He was trying to put it in quotes. You just type butts. That's all you have to... Just type butts. That should be an unlock code in every game. Can we put that on vognetwork.com somehow? If you type in butts, you get, like, loot or something.
You get a fraction of a frog.
Bobby's going to hate me for even proposing that. All right. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, though, we're going to have some rapid-fire news, of course. The mailbag. I know we got some emails this week. We're going to talk a little bit about TwitchCon. We're going to talk about an old TV show related to video gaming coming back, and I'm very jazzed about this. I really hope they don't screw it up. Of course, your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio, we'll be back. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, January the 15th of 2017, with episode number 672 of our program already in progress. If you're just joining us live at vognetwork.com, you missed our little lively discussion on the Nintendo Switch. I guess you'll just have to check it out on the podcast feed, which, of course, you can do via iTunes, Google Play, or pretty much anywhere where you can get podcasts, including vognetwork.com, where this show is hosted. I want to also make sure at some point I give a shout-out to our pals, speaking of Vogue, over at GameBuoy.org. GameBuoy.org. Because they had me on their show this week. We actually taped it, like, not even an hour after that Switch presentation was done. So it was really cool that they invited me on their program. I was very happy to be there with my pals, Captain Spike and First Mate Slidekick. And they're always very good about shouting out OLR. So I want to make sure they get a nice, big, hearty shout out. And check out their latest episode, GameBuoy.org, called Switchmas. But if you don't want to hear any more Switch talk, I think they have like 120 other episodes you can go back and check out instead on a variety of topics. They did one recently on Civilization as well, because I didn't realize Civilization had hit a milestone. I mean, yes, the sixth game release, but it also had a birthday recently, so they did a show about that. So anyhow, check that out.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase number.
Before we get into rapid-fire news, I thought I'd bring this up real quick. I mean, this is a heck of a question to be springing on you guys. I apologize, but hopefully you've given this some thought at some point. But I did get a tweet earlier that had mentioned, like, hey, are you guys ever going to talk about, like, the best video games of 2016? Since we kind of, you know, skipped the show at New Year's, and now here we are halfway into the first month of 2017, we kind of skipped that usual time of year when shows would talk about this. So I thought I would just, like, quickly ask, you know, so we don't neglect it completely. Guys, what do you think was your favorite video game last year? What do you think was your favorite video game? Or what do you, I guess, what was the best game? Like, if you had to look back and say this game was the best game of 2016, what do you think you'd say? I'll start. It was, in my opinion, the best game released in 2016 was Overwatch. I think Overwatch is the best game they released. And I'm not even that big of a fan of first-person shooters, but it's, you know, it's just that great Blizzard ability to turn a genre that is not always often accessible into something that is very easy to get into and to play. I love the diversity of the characters, and I don't even mean that from a, you know, like, sexual and country and all that stuff. Like, I just mean the diversity of how they play. Like, you have, like, I mean, the first part is great too, but I mean, like, you know, you have people that shoot rockets, and, you know, every healer heals a different way. You don't really have, like, copies of the same character. So it's just, it's a really easy game to get into, and it's true, I don't play as much of it as, you know, my partner and some of my friends, but I do own it on two different consoles. I think it's a great game and one of the more enjoyable experiences of the year. If I had time to put a whole list together, you know, I was thinking about it towards the end of last year. I almost was going to put Pokemon Go on the list, because I think that game, you know, as much as people want to hate on its drawbacks, and yeah, you know, Pokemon Go has its drawbacks, I definitely think Pokemon Go made a cultural impact that we'll look back on 2016 and say, you know, that was like the fad the summer of 2016. And, you know, not a lot of video games get to be that. So, and I, you know, honestly, I'm still enjoying Pokemon Go. Although, as a game, you can't sit here and say it's better than Pokemon Sun and Moon, because Pokemon Sun and Moon is like an amazing handheld Pokemon game for the series. So, you know, I think Pokemon Sun and Moon would probably be in my list somewhere. But I think my favorite game of 2016 was probably Overwatch. And I think was the best and, like, deserving of all the Game of the Year awards that it's getting. Not to put you guys on the spot, but have you thought about this at all, Loki? Your best game of 2016, if we were to look back?
I don't remember what I played in 2016. Honestly, I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what came out in 2016.
It's hard. You have to kind of peek at Wikipedia sometimes to kind of get a reminder. Well, there was a lot of good stuff that came out earlier in the year, too. Like, I think a game that's worthy of recognition in most people's top five would be like, well, in my top five would be Stardew Valley. You know, I think that was a January game for PC anyway. Obviously, it came to consoles later.
But... Yep, didn't play it.
Yeah, I know. Darksoccer, anything that jumps out at you as the
I'm
best?
I'm double-checking the date on something.
Okay, she's double-checking.
So give me a second. But
what is it anyway? Even if it's not 2016 specifically.
Actually, I really enjoyed Legion.
Okay.
The World of Warcraft expansion.
Sure.
I mean, honestly.
Oh, I think it's the best expansion they've ever done.
I think
for the
I've
game.
Played it pretty much to the exclusion of a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. So, and I wish somebody would play with me. Hint, hint. But I've really enjoyed it. I'm still playing it. I'm still digging the new classes and everything. It really feels like a fresh game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, that's fair. I think the gals from Girls Gone Wow would agree with you. It's probably the best game that came out last year. Think of anything, Loki, or should I just move on?
I don't know. I've been playing Skyrim Remastered, I guess. I mean, pretty much it. I didn't really play a whole ton of games last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ton of games that I bought, but none of them really stand out as being like really great games. So,
I would have thought you might have said something related to the PlayStation VR.
I mean, like, Until Dawn, Rush of Blood is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's, like, my favorite game of last year. Mm-hmm. It's a cool experience, I guess.
A lot of people have been putting Rez in their year-end best, which is hilarious considering how old that game is.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, it's all right, but it's not like, Game of the Year stuff. I don't know. I just didn't really have anything. I didn't play really a lot of new games. I have a ton of stuff in my backlog, but I just haven't... Nothing I can think of that really, like, stuck out is like, oh my god, this is so amazing.
Get on it, Loki. Just kidding. All right.
No.
Let's move on and talk about some rapid-fire news. Actually, I should go to chat and see what kind of games people have been saying in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Maya says Overwatch may be the best new IP in 5 years. Let's see. SG100 Matt says Mighty No. 9 was up there for me. Forza Horizon 3 is up there also. Pokemon Go also. I absolutely think Forza Horizon 3 would be in my top three. And I haven't even played that much of it, but it's it's a fucking amazing racing game. It really is. An arcade racer, which is a genre I really enjoy. I think Forza Horizon 3 is just one of those games like I really need to invest more time in. But I think it's fucking amazing. So, yeah, I'd probably
put it up there. It's very disappointed that I didn't see a new Excitruck game on that, you know, Switch announcement thing. That would have sold it, unfortunately.
ActDeft, of course, shouting out Kirby Planet Robobot. And Fifth Dream saying, I'm playing so many fuck tons of Stardew Valley right now. Yeah, a lot of people are. All right, let's get to some rapid-fire news. Loki.
Okay. So much like they did with Just Cause 2, Just Cause 3 is getting its multiplayer mod. So that's going to be coming out on Steam pretty soon, or at least the PC version. They're saying they're expecting that to release sometime in February or March, and it's going to support over 100 players on its servers. And of course, it opens the door for lots of craziness, including, you know, racing, deathmatch, skydiving. They're saying role playing or free roam. I just remember Just Cause 2's multiplayer with 1,000 people on a server at a time, and that was just absolute chaos and a lot of fun to play. So we'll have to check this out. I don't know if I'm on this laptop because Just Cause 3 doesn't run very well. And I still have this on PS4. So that's one of those games in my backlog that I got to go back and play. That and Watch Dogs 2. Another one. Another thing that can actually dust off my PlayStation VR 4 would be Dirt Rally. It's going to be adding PlayStation VR support on the PlayStation 4 version. That's going to be coming some point soon. So to check it out when that comes out, because I'm all for more PSVR stuff. They're saying, though, that here's the thing that's kind of annoying, though. It's being added as a download only for $12.99. So you have to So the PlayStation VR version is $12.99. It's being sold as a standalone. For UK, I guess they're adding support.
You know, there's a version of Dirt that just came out for free on the Humble store. It was free over the weekend. I think it's done now.
Yeah, I think I already had that. I saw that, and I didn't really bother to pick it up because I'm pretty sure I have it. And if I don't, do I really need another game to go into my massive backlog of games that I'm probably never going to play?
All right. Well, moving on to talk about a place where you're probably not playing Pokemon Go, and that's China, because China is not allowing Pokemon Go. Which, first off, if you're listening to this show in China, you should let us know, because I just assume it's banned. But who knows? Anyhow, Pokemon Go is not out in China, and it's probably not coming out anytime soon. The official censorship body in China has said it's not going to license any augmented reality game. So that would include Ingress or anything else that comes to the table later on. Which, by the way, very surprised there has not been A-level Pokemon Go competitor released before the holiday. I was very surprised about that. But anyway, they want to determine, they being the censorship body, if they're a danger to personal safety and national security. Probably not fans of people walking around government landmarks trying to catch a Pikachu.
Not necessarily that. South Korea also doesn't allow it because they have no virtual mapping allowed of the country due to relations with North Korea.
Interesting. I thought they had it in South Korea.
Nope. Only in one tiny town.
Okay, interesting. All right. That's really what it boils down to. They probably do not want you wandering into places that you're not supposed to be just to find that must-have Pokemon. So anyhow, we'll see if that changes at some point, but I imagine Niantic would have to hardwire some things into it for that to change. Even though we mentioned at the top of the show, I had it bookmarked here to mention the Awesome Games Done Quick Marathon raised a lot of money for the Prevent Cancer Foundation, $2.2 million, and they raised most of that in the last day. That was a pretty impressive thing to watch, and I actually did watch a good chunk of the marathon yesterday. I saw quite a bit of, I watched the entire Undertale. I watched a good chunk of Super Metroid, and saw quite a bit of the Zelda Wind Waker, too. So I was watching a lot of that on the last day. Could have done without some of the commentary during Super Metroid. If you all saw that, you might know what I'm referring to. I thought that was pretty tasteless. And I hope the AGDQ folks will take into consideration the need to maybe screen people or give people some type of little training about what to say when they have a mic in front of their face and lots of people watching. for a charitable foundation. But that negativity aside, I thought the Undertale run, and I'm not even super into Undertale like a lot of people, but I thought that was a lot of fun to watch. And the guy that was streaming it was obviously really into it, and you know, the crowd went wild when they passed the 2 million mark. And at the end of the day, that was a really great amount of money that they raised for charity. And I like these gamers doing good type of stories. I think this story that shows that our community can raise all this money for a good cause, I think does the gaming community a lot of good. So congrats to everybody who were involved. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
Some stuff. We have some more games getting backwards compatibility on Xbox One. It's Bad Company 2, Battlefield 3, and Dragon Age Origins, which, yay, maybe... I'd like to see how Dragon Age Origins ends up looking. You can get them from the marketplace or use the disc. Also, Final Fantasy VII Remake and Kingdom Hearts 3, they're still going to be a while. They actually don't have a particular date on them, just says that they're going to be quite a bit longer to finish production, according to Nomura. That's it.
So maybe not going to release in 2017, as we were thinking, especially that Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Probably not.
We'll see. All right, let's travel around the world and check out what gaming releases are coming out this week. Although January is not always the most exciting month. Loki, do we have anything?
Yeah, it's not a whole ton of stuff coming out, but we've got Altair Chalet Plus, the Alchemist of Dust Sea, that's coming out in Vita. And Fate Extella, the Umbral Star on PlayStation 4 and Vita. And then Birthdays, the Beginning on PlayStation 4. Valkyria Revolution on PlayStation 4, Vita, and Xbox One. And Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King on 3DS. And Gravity Rush 2 on PlayStation 4. And let's see, Urban Empire on PC. And then finally about, on that Sunday, Don Bradman Cricket 17 on PC.
All right, well, traveling to Japan, it's, you know, they've got a few big releases this week in Japan, actually, starting with Gravity Days 2, which over here would be Gravity Rush 2, releases on the PlayStation 4 this week in Japan. So I know a lot of people are looking forward to that, so that is a release this week. Also, that Atelier game that Loki was earlier referring to, also getting its Japanese release this week. Aoki Kakume no Valkyria comes out this week on the PlayStation 4 in Japan from Sega. So I'm trying to see
Blue
if that's
Revolution.
A...
Valkyria?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Azure Revolution Valkyria. Now, is that related to the Valkyria Chronicles games? I'm assuming it has to
be. I
don't
know.
So that would be kind of neat. But that is out in Japan this week. Then Birthdays the Beginning, also out in Japan. That is all, again, on the PlayStation 4. The PlayStation Vita, also seeing that same Atelier game, the Valkyria game, and the Aoki Kakume no Valkyria. Same game there, just written two different ways. But there's also another game in Japan this week on the Vita. Hana Oboro Sengoku Den Ranki comes out in regular and limited editions this week on the Vita. Quickly taking a look to see if anything is hitting the 3DS this week. US. There is just Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. Well, that's still pretty exciting on the 3DS this week. And, of course, Amiibo Plentiful to go with that. So, check it out. Dark Sakura.
For release dates in the UK, just a few. On the 17th, we have She Remembered Caterpillars for Mac and PC. On the 18th, Gravity Rush 2 for PlayStation 4. And on the 20th for 3DS, Dragon Quest 8.
I'm excited to play Dragon Quest VIII again. I like 8 better than 7, even though I do have 7 on the 3DS. I'm just really excited to play 8 again. 8 had some great characters, great music. Excited. All right. Let's do some more news stories. We're going to be taking your calls in about 20 minutes or so at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. Oh, but before we get to stories, sorry, it's that time of the show where we get to the mailbag. I always miss it because it's in a different color. You can't log into the mail?
Nope, it's not working.
Like, not working how?
Internal server error.
Is it that same problem we were having a couple weeks ago?
I don't remember because that was happening when I wasn't here.
Hold on a minute. Because everything still auto-forwards to my email, so I can forward these to you real quick. Why don't we have Loki do a story, and we'll circle back to the mailbag in a minute while we work this out in a great live radio fashion.
All right. So Steam's reached a new milestone of 14 million concurrent users. That's right. So that's the first time they've hit that mark in 13 years. And I guess that you're saying that it happened. It was about 14,207,039. We're all on the same time. Of course, the highest played games for that peak period, Dota 2, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Grand Theft Auto 5, which I really need to pick up. Once I get a PC, they can run it better. Ark Survival Evolved, Team Fortress 2, still pretty high up there. Gary's Mod, man, I'm surprised that's even up there that far. Rocket League, Football Manager, Rust, and Arma 3. Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. And then, of course, not sure about any other stats for Steam as far as, like, I know this year they've, well, was it 2016 saw that it's the growth in Steam has been ridiculous. 40% of the games on Steam now total came in 2016, which is ridiculous. And, of course, a lot of those not necessarily being that great, but through the whole Steam greenlight process. And my Steam library is still really huge, despite the fact that I haven't played a game on Steam in a very long time.
Right? Seriously.
Yes. It's, I think last I checked, and let me take a look here real quick. Last I checked, I think I had almost over 500 games, which is ridiculous. Let's see here. It was... what do we got here? Too many. 523. Four of which are VR, which I don't have anything for VR. Oh, hey, you know, one of the things we forgot to talk about, you know, while we were gone, the other thing that was kind of going on was CES. And they had a lot of kind of neat stuff coming out of CES, including new VR headsets, which I guess I want to say it was HP that was selling those. So there's going to be some more affordable headsets coming out pretty soon. And then did anyone see that really trippy, like some of their prototype laptop displays or something like that? I know that they had one that was like a triple monitor setup, which is ridiculous because that thing takes up, I don't even know how that would be practical. I mean, I guess you would use that on a desktop or something, but then what's the point of having a laptop at that point? But there are some of those laptops. They had one that was like a $9,000 laptop that was like dual, a dual GPU laptop. They had two full-size 1080 NVIDIA cards. And if only I had a disposable income of, or spare $9,000 for something like that.
And Brad from Pod Culture said it was stolen from the booth.
Yeah, yeah, the triple display was stolen from the booth, despite the fact that it doesn't really work. So imagine that thing wasn't collapsible in any way, so that part of it wasn't working at all. So you had to have walked out with this ginormous screen. I mean, how would someone not notice that?
Just a really fluffy jacket.
I mean, you look like you have bat wings or something. Like, I'm the Batman.
Oh, William Murderface says two of them got stolen. Oh, well.
Oh, fantastic.
One under each arm. All right, anyway. All right. So I think we found a workaround for the mailbag, right? I forwarded because I still get copied those in my personal account. So hopefully. All right. Dark Soccer is going to dive into the mailbag.
If I don't die.
Which you guys can email us, of course, every week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And you will notice, come hell or high water, we'll dig those emails out of the oblivion to share with you on the show via Dark Soccer. Dark Soccer, what's on deck tonight?
Hello, people. When I do dress up for Halloween, I wear a kigurumi. Not only is a kigurumi a supremely easy costume to put on, but also a kigurumi is something that I know my nieces will find to be delightful, which is my aim. Sure, some adults think a kigurumi looks weird, and I don't care because my nieces find it delightful. Also, adults suck. I prefer to wear a red panda kigurumi because it has a tail on the back, which I use to smack my nieces in the face, something they also find to be delightful.
Maybe you shouldn't hit your nieces in the face, actually.
Well, no, the next one I'm buying is a red panda.
I see.
Additionally, after your 2.5-hour not ad for Stroop Waffle, I decided to go to my local state-run liquor store to buy some. Note I said tried. Whether it was due to high demand or purposeful institutionalized incompetence, I was unable to find any of the tasty fuck-me-up juice that Sky and Dark Sakura seem to enjoy so much.
It's okay, if you can't find it, you just take a regular waffle and just, you know, run it through like
it
a coffee filter.
It has nothing to do with actual waffles.
Although well, then I really don't care about it at all.
It kind of tastes like a waffle to me. But I think the minute he said state-run liquor store, I was like, it wasn't there. No. We have a place, I don't know how many...
ABC back in Alabama.
We have a place called Total Wine that has a lot of import stuff. It's not just wine. They have a lot of import stuff. That's like the only place here where you can get it.
The one by my house is ordering me Frivolo now. I'm so happy.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Instead, I got some apricot Hefeweizen, another kind of tasty fuck-me-up juice that I enjoy so much. Stay care, Redertainment Trainer. The Hefeweizen... I've only had one Hefeweizen that I like. And that's the pyramid Hefeweizen.
I'm still bitter at the fact that my wife got rid of a waffle maker that we had a long time ago. She just gave it away. I'm like, why? We could have had waffles.
You should ask her for a new one for Christmas. I mean, I guess you'll have to wait a year at this point. But,
or
you know.
I can just go buy one.
Yeah, just go buy one. You're an
I want a deep fryer as well, but she doesn't want me to have that.
You used to have a deep fryer.
I did, and it was shit. But they have the nice ones now with the baskets and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Make fries at home. It'll be fun. Ugh. All right.
Well, it's delicious, and maybe we'll put the brand up somewhere in a not ad for the Stroop waffle liqueur.
I'm gonna take a bottle with me to every con I go to from here on out. That'll be the theme. Meet Rob Roberts and drink Stroop waffle because it's fucking good.
The official booze of Orange Lounge Radio. Hi, Orange Lounge Radio. I've been a big fan since your Live 365 days.
That's a long time ago. Thank you.
For over 10 years, I've been listening on and off to the three of you, Sky, Loki, and Dark Sakura, talk about video games, the gaming lifestyle, and gaming culture, along with everything else in between. I have a question for the three of you.
Uh-oh.
One, Sky, how do you manage to juggle multiple podcasts? I have to know.
Well, it helps when three of them are on break right now. I haven't been doing them all regularly, but
Rob uses a time turner.
I definitely know there are plans to do a new season of Guys on a Show, and then of course once Drag Race is back for season 9, which should be in March or April, Reading is Fundamental will start up again. Pokestop podcast, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, that's in a little bit of a zone right now. Shane and I have talked about it recently. We'll see. It might be a monthly thing or something, but I'll let you know.
What about Guys on the Show?
No, I just said we're definitely going to do another season of Guys on the Show. In fact, I know the first topic is going to be about vacations because we just took a big one. So we are going to talk about all that stuff. There will be another season of Guys on the Show for sure. But as far as the other stuff. But anyway, I look at it as like a hobby that you dedicate certain nights of the week to. Like this, we do this every Sunday night, and it's been that way for 15 years. Yes, there are sometimes cases where we don't make it, but a lot of people in their lives make room for church every Sunday night. Not that I'm trying to equate this show to church, but...
No, you heathen.
I'm not going to do that, but I'm saying, you know, a gathering of people at a time and place that you kind of suddenly make a part of your lifestyle. That's what it kind of takes to keep doing this show regularly. So, you know, for some people, it's a bowling league on Tuesday nights or D&D on Saturday afternoons or something. You know what I mean? That's how I am able to do the podcast, is I just have to set a time and say, okay, this is my hobby. Also, the fact that I, like, never get out to the movies anymore or watch any TV or stuff, that kind of helps because there's a lot of stuff that I'm just really, like, clueless on when it comes to nerd culture because I don't follow... Like Game of Thrones, I've never seen an episode. Same thing with Walking Dead, never seen an episode.
I've watched some on YouTube.
A lot of those big nerd shows, never seen an episode. If it's on Netflix, it's a better chance that I will have seen it at some point. I did finally start watching Black Mirror. I like that. That's pretty good.
I watched Legion.
Legion.
The Marvel Universe one.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched Jessica Jones or any... I haven't watched any of the Netflix stuff.
You are coming over and watching all of it.
Daredevil, none of it. Luke Cage, none of it.
Who cares about Daredevil?
Lemony Snicket?
No, haven't watched it yet. I saw the movie years ago, but I hear this is probably much different.
It's awesome.
The fact that Neil Patrick Harris is in it.
Patrick Harris is fantastic. And plus, not only does it have Neil Patrick Harris, it also has Patrick Warburton as Lemony Snicket, which is awesome. And then the two parents, Will Arnett as the father, and then the mother. Mm. I don't remember the actress's name, but she was the one that played... God, I can fucking see her face, but I can't remember her name. She was... she was in How I Met Your Mother. She was also in Avengers.
Allison Hannigan? No, How I Met Your Mother.
The Canadian girl.
Oh, Robin Sparkles?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know her. I don't know her actual name. I just know her as Robin. I just know her. Let's Go to the Mall.
Yeah. I can't remember her name, but yeah, she's
Kobe Smulders. That's what JD says.
Maybe. Yeah. That sounds good. Like, she's plays the mother, and just the cast is fantastic.
Good.
So, second question.
Real quick, I just want to say some folks in chat saying Jessica Jones is real good, and also I'm sure these shows are good. Just because I don't watch them doesn't mean they're not good. But I don't have time.
Y'all I challenge podcasts? Everyone who's seen Jessica Jones and never read Alias to get off your ass and go read Alias first.
All right, but different from the ABC show Alias.
No, the comics, so good.
All right.
Even better than the series.
Next question from the email.
Let me finish eating my chocolate.
Well, oh, now you want
Y'all
me to
made
keep
me wait. Now it's time for you to wait. Two, Loki. As a father and someone who games, how do you find time to play games? Just curious. I have a 10-and-a-half-week-old, and I'm still learning to establish a schedule. Pretty difficult, but it is what it is.
He doesn't.
Yes, pretty much. No, I have to wait until everybody is asleep, and then I stay up way too late and wake up way too early. Other times I get to play games are when I pacify them with other things. So, like, my oldest son will go play games now in his room with the tablet, and he'll go watch Minecraft and play Minecraft and won't shut up about Minecraft. And then his tablet will – he'll put the tablet away while my other son take a nap and play it on the Wii U, where he watches videos of Minecraft and plays Minecraft and won't shut up about Minecraft. We just bought another Minecraft book last night, so I don't know why I'm encouraging this, but...
Did you see they're putting Minecraft on the Switch?
Minecraft's on everything, so it's not a big deal, but, like, I don't know. We bought him a book. It's like an idea book type thing for Minecraft. It's the construction guide. They have, like, four of these essential guides or whatever, so he has the essential one already, and then he has... Now it's the builder's guide, which kind of gives you... It's kind of cool. It gives you, like, ideas for, like, roller coasters and stuff like that, so, I mean, cool. I think it's pretty neat. And, you know... He just talks about, like, all these mods and stuff in Minecraft, and so, like, I don't have any idea what the hell he's talking about. Yes, I know these mods exist. He's like, have you seen the, you know, Sphere TNT? It's like, it's a mod. I don't care. I really don't care that you're telling me about all these things. I know he wants to share, but he doesn't, it's literally just constant vomit of information of Minecraft mods that I don't give a shit about. But yeah, the fine time, what I've been doing now, like, because my wife is hogging the TV still, like, she'll just, like, watch TV just to watch TV. She can run out of shows, like, she just got done with House, and so we've been watching Lemony Snicket a couple times. She's been watching just because she watched House, and there was the actress that plays Cuddy in House has another show, The Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce or some shit that she's watching that I'm being subjected to. So I've been playing on the PlayStation VR. Using just the 2D screen mode to play games since I don't have a screen to play on. So that's how I get time. And it's usually very distracting because if I'm playing while everybody's awake, I get bothered by people. Like if I have the VR headset on, my son wakes up from nap, he's like going, Daddy, what are you doing? Daddy, what are you doing? What are you doing, Daddy? What are you doing, Daddy? It's like, fucking, and then the cat like tries to get up in there too. It's like, get the fuck off me, stupid cat. I'm trying to like play this game. She's like in front of my face. I'm like,
I will say this right now, all of that is why I don't have kids. Nope.
But aren't
have
they, a cat.
Aren't they precious?
I have a cat and she fucks
the kids
off.
Are fine. The kids are fine. If I put a TV show on for my one kid and give the tablet to the other kid, they don't bother me.
All right, that was me, but it was a Commodore 64, and look at me now. Your kids might turn out like me someday.
Exactly. I'd be fine with it, but he doesn't want to try like Mario or any of the hard games. He isn't like anything that's challenging. I'm not doing it.
Sounds American.
All right. Anyway, next part of the email.
The one's for me.
Uh-oh.
Dark Sakura. What's your criteria to meet the classic game of the week? My two personal recommendations would be Lightning Force, and spell like this for the U.S. market, which I know, and Onimusha 2 or 3. Forgive my grammar in the sentence, as I know I'll get eviscerated. Your grammar was actually decent.
Criteria one, it's not Halo.
True. Criteria one, it's not Halo. Criteria two, 10 years or older.
Mm-hmm.
And preferably not something that's utter shit, unless it's so much utter shit.
Oh my God.
Criteria three, something you randomly thought about on Sunday morning before
the
show.
I know what?
I do them on Saturday night.
Have you done, well, actually, because I can't remember, have you done Derby Owners Club as a classic game of the week?
I think I have.
No, I don't think you have. Because
I think I have.
I think that game only recently,
no, that's right.
That game only recently turned. Like,
or Final Furlong.
Yeah.
What, horsey humping?
Yeah.
But we've talked about Derby Owners Club a lot because of, you made Paula Terry.
And don't forget, this year, I think next week will be the first classic system of the week. So, you know, now that you asked about the formula, we have to shake up the formula this year. She just did a game that didn't even exist. Got to keep y'all on your toes somehow in year 15.
So she can do Half-Life 3 as a classic game of the week?
No, because it's not older than 10 years.
At least the Polybus thing goes back to 1981, so there is that. Although it's coming up, how far back does the Half-Life 3 thing go? It's hitting, it's almost 10 years. Yeah, almost. Anyway, anything else on that email?
Yes, but we've already answered that one. Finally, I have to know your overall thoughts on the Nintendo Switch. Are you sold on it yet? Will you three hold off until more games are announced? The answer, by the way, is yes to all of it. Just spread amongst us. Thanks so much for taking the time to read my email. Sky, I'm sorry I missed you at MAGFest last Saturday. I wish I could have talked to you more in person to pick your brain about gaming.
Sorry.
And just life in general. Take care, guys. Keep up the awesome work. Tristan, a.k.a.
I was saying, I will fight my way onto a panel next year so I at least can say, go to X Ballroom at Y time and say hi.
A.k.a. DCB Needle Crash.
Oh, they were in chat earlier. So, all right, cool. Thanks for being a long-time listener.
Last email is... Oh, the crap. People don't message
don't call
me
the emails crap.
No, it's just people message me during the show, and
ignore
I'm like...
Ignore them. That's what I
don't
do.
Don't message me during the
ignore
show.
Ignore them. That's what I do.
I'm not even seeing who it is, so hold on. Okay.
I mean, I'll look at it during a break or something, but, you know, if I take 40 minutes to respond to you,
thing
just
is
realize
it pops up a little notification on my bottom, and then I have to go and change it to get the notification to stop, and it's annoying.
I just let it blank until I'm damn good
well,
ready.
Well, it annoys me, okay? I can't just let it sit and blink at me. It's got to get checked. Shit's got
to
get checked.
If I were to look at your phone right now, how many unread mails do you have? That's you.
And you know what? My work email, my inbox is always empty.
I have 13 unread emails right now.
Girl. All right. Here's an interesting article that can make the show roll. Oh. Published in PLOS Computational Biology, researchers applied widely used neuroscience approaches to analyze the classic games console Atari 2600, which runs the video game Donkey Kong, and found that such approaches do not meaningfully describe how the console's microprocessor really works. And then the comment, it's funny they chose Donkey Kong too. So it's... Okay, it's using a classic game system to improve the... to improve the understanding of the brain. Okay. Hmm. Cool.
So like the way that our brain responds to situations in certain games? Interesting.
Hold on. I'm trying to find the more information about it. Give me a second. Since humans designed this... This is a quote from here. Since humans designed this processor from the transistor all the way up to the software, we know how it works at every level, and we have an intuition for what it means to understand the system. Our goal was to highlight some of the deficiencies in understanding that arise when applying contemporary analytic techniques to big data sets of computing systems.
So something like, let's see, deficiencies. You need more than 6 weeks to make an ET game. That would have been one deficiency of the Atari 2600. You need more than 4 kilobytes to make an arcade perfect translation of Pac-Man. That would be one deficiency, right?
Oh, I don't know if it quite means that, but their final thing is with careful thought, current big data approaches to neuroscience may not live up to their promise or succeed in advancing the field. Progress requires better experiments, theories, and data analysis approaches. So basically, computers versus brains. brains win. Brains are still uncompletely comprehensible. So,
Fifth Dream in chat. If you thought 13 was a lot of unread emails, Fifth Dream in chat says, I have over 500,000 unread emails. I want to see the receipts. Where's the screenshot? 500,000? Actually, maybe in my Yahoo account I have that many unread emails, but that's kind of like my spam dump ground. And as I understand it, foreign countries have probably read all those emails by now anyway.
Yeah, I recently cleaned out my Yahoo account because that's where my my Amazon notifications used to go. Which, by the way, Amazon, you didn't fucking notify me when the Switch wasn't available, despite the fact that I marked that specifically. It did twice.
Oops on that.
It went for on sale twice and neither time. So what's the point of having a button to notify you if they're never going to notify you? You kind of missed the point there.
All right. If you want to email us in a future week, that was the last one, right? Yes. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to email us in a future week. In the meantime, let's get back to some gaming news. And I think I have the next story here that talks about Windows 10 and a new game mode that is going to be coming out very soon for Windows 10. In fact, I believe it's coming out in this next week. Yes, the Insider Preview program will be seeing Windows 10 game mode this week. Now, you're not going to see this fully functional until a later release of Windows 10, but this is supposed to help tune your PC to speed up gaming performance for both legacy Windows games and modern titles. I believe this was something about how it's supposed to dedicate more of the processing basically to gaming. And so it's like more of your system is dedicated to the gaming, sort of like you would see in a console environment. So a little less on the multitasking abilities. Anyway, that's one update of several things to come in 2017. Live streaming through Beam is supposed to be something that's going to be a big centerpiece on the platforms moving into 2017. So it'll be interesting to see how that competition with Twitch works. By the way, I started a Beam channel. And, you know, for the most part, it's been just very similar to broadcasting on Twitch, except, you know, there's less people on Beam right now. But I still really like the whole interactive approach where, you know, people are earning currency as they watch your stream and then they can dump sound clips on your stream. Or depending on the game you're playing, they can actually influence the game. I kind of like that next level where Beam's going, I got to say, you know, no matter how you might feel about Microsoft. Anyhow, also some other things happening on Xbox One. You're going to see an always available guide with faster access to game recording and music controls, an achievement tracking overlay, a new look for Cortana, and a gamer score leaderboard. So lots of stuff to look forward to in the coming year on the Microsoft platforms. Let's see. William Murderface in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, while I am intrigued, Microsoft has so far failed to impress me with their previous attempts at helping PC gamers. We'll see. I'm intrigued too, and we'll see what develops with this game mode and, you know, what games actually utilize it. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
TwitchCon is moving. It's going to be in late October, and they're moving to Long Beach. If I am right, I think, yeah, this is the Long Beach Convention Center that I think is the same one that AX is at, Anime Expo. Because it's gotten huge, apparently, so enjoy it if you want to go there.
Boy, everybody's just shitting on San Diego this week. This is the second thing to move to L.A. area from San Diego. No, actually, TwitchCon the first year was in San Francisco.
Yes, it was.
I went for a day, and it was interesting. I'd be down to going to TwitchCon again. It's just the end of the year is so many conventions. But this year, there won't be the Final Fantasy thing, so, you know. Who knows? And they haven't said if there's going to be a Gamer X this year. I don't know where that stands. And this past year in 2016, Gamer X and TwitchCon were the same weekend.
Yeah.
Which meant I couldn't do both. So we'll see how the calendar works out this year. So, all right. Moving on. Loki, just a couple more stories, and we're going to get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio.
Okay. So apparently someone saw that there was this post on Craigslist. It's for a casting call for a show from the makers of Catfish, the TV series called Beyond the Keyboard. They're looking for people who like to troll fake gamer girls or who are sick of fake gamer girls and booby streamers. and also who want to confront phony gamers face-to-face and show them what geek culture is really about. And also not limited to, you know, other such topics which you fiercely disagree with, including feminism, gaming, vegans, conspiracy theories, rival sports teams, Syrian refugees, immigration, Black Lives Matter, LGBT/trans issues, etc. My God, is this not a fucking completely obvious troll the troll show that's going to be happening?
It's gonna be dumpster fire television.
Where it's basically, oh, hey, you thought you were on a show that was going to be making fun of these people, but really they're confronting the trolls and we're going to teach you a lesson.
I'd like to see them all exposed.
Didn't they have a show like that already? Didn't they have a thing where, like, the people that they talk shit about online would then, like, meet them? It was called, like, it was on the CW, which should say enough right there. It was called Hater. It was H-8-E-R, and it was people that would, like, say things like, I fucking hate Snooki, and she sucks, and did all this stuff. Because, like, this is the level of celebrity that a show like that gets is, like, Snooki and shit, right? So the same people that star on Celebrity Apprentice. So then Snooki will, like, confront the person and be like, how could you say that shit about me? You know, and this is, it's dumpster fire TV. Like, there's no other. It's a floating in the ocean dumpster fire.
Why would
fire.
You give these human pieces of shit any attention?
It's not for them.
It's the comeuppance. It's the comeuppance.
That's what
that
it is. And,
see.
And it's not even, like, they're not even getting paid for it, which is kind of seriously funny, but I mean, anybody that actually is dumb enough to believe that this is what this actually is, that you're going on a show to make fun of people, you are a fucking retard. I mean, it's just...
Maybe you should
That's an insult to
maybe,
retarded people.
Maybe you should go on the show, Loki.
You know what? I can go on any show whatsoever. If you're going to have me confront people that I'm calling names to, I will call the names to their face. I don't fucking care at all. If I say you're a fucking retard, I'm going to tell you that to your face. It's not going to make me all of a sudden, you know... Sorry,
that,
like,
that word's not
Nintendo. I'll meet with Reggie. I'll be like, Reggie, what the fuck is wrong with your stupid company and their goddamn network? I mean, can you fucking figure out internet for once? You know what the internet is, right? Okay. I mean, I don't have a problem talking to him.
Fifth Dream in chat says, "I think Sky is full of BS." Gets to meet him on TV. No, I wouldn't subject myself to dumpster fire TV. But I would subject myself to this. Let's end on a positive note here because this is cool. Shout Factory is going to be doing a reboot of the infamous 80s game show,
yes.
Starcade.
Yes.
Yes. And I am officially throwing my hat in the ring. I want to host this show so fucking bad. Like, what do I have to do? Who do I have to blow? Who do I have to, like, what do I have to do to host the new Starcade? Chris Hardwick, I can do that. I can fucking do that. What's that bouncy ball Plinko shit thing he's hosting on NBC now? I can do that. Anyway. Shout Factory has acquired the rights to Starcade, and they are going to bring it back. And they are also the company behind the new Mystery Science Theater 3000. They've acquired the worldwide television format and ancillary rights to this, and they're planning to develop a retro boot. A quote here, Starcade is a classic game show from the 80s and is pure nostalgic fun. We couldn't be more excited to work with the original show creators to retro boot Starcade for a new generation
of
fans.
So is it going to look like the old episodes? Like, that would be fantastic.
I don't know. As we continue to actively expand our reach into production and development for new series, movies, and scripted shows and specials, this deal exemplifies the type of content we plan to pursue, which taps into the interests and passions of our company's loyal fan base. Shout Factory is going to work directly with JM Production Company, who made the original show, to create a version of this where celebrities, again, probably people like Snooki, esports professionals, and pro gaming types will compete to see who is the top gamer on the planet. Why not just normal people? Or, you know,
yeah, that's the whole point, is just normal people.
If this is like a retro boot type of thing, like, my assumption is when I read into that, that maybe they'll be playing classic games. Like, obviously, there's an interest out there in classic gaming. Look what just happened with the classic Nintendo. Look at Awesome Games Done Quick. Most of those games they play on there are very old. I think there'd be a lot of people that would be, like, really into seeing.
I would love a show that's Awesome Games Done Quick, the show.
Yeah, something,
you know,
like
every like day it would be like a few hours or something like that. Or they're going to have like an hour long show, have multi part shows for, like, you know, games that are going to take like 3 hours or something. But that would be awesome. I would totally watch that.
SSGO 100 Matt says, Rob, did you get a chance to see the MAGFest game show thing? They did a spirited revival of the game show Nick Arcade. No, I didn't, but I did see a gaming Jeopardy. I went to a thing where they were playing Jeopardy, and I'm gonna probably bid to do some type of game show thing at MAGWest, because in my career in teaching, we do games like Jeopardy, like Weakest Link or those types of games. Like, we do that all the time. So I want to do a Jeopardy panel. So I'm gonna throw my hat into the ring for that, at least for MAGWest, and see what happens. So I think it'd be fun. Game shows are fun. But I would really want to host this new Starcade. OMG. SSG100 Matt says, Rob just wants to host a game show. Hell yeah. That was my dream in the fourth grade, was to be a game show host. Bob Barker was my idol. He still is in many ways. I love Bob Barker. He's a national treasure. Anyway.
Yet another celebrity that survived 2016.
Thank God. Thank God. Don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. All right. That's it. We're going to Skype line, 1-877-GAME-OLR. Our username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word. You can give us a call, and we'll talk about anything we've talked about so far tonight. I'm sure some of y'all have something to say on the Switch, but if there's something we missed, too, we can talk about I've got something to say. What's that, Logie?
So, going back to what Reggie said, how there's going to be plenty of Switch available at launch, GameStop has already sold out of their Switch allocation and won't have any more until after launch.
Womp, womp. I'm just waiting to get the cancel notices from the other companies as well. But anyway, we've got a call coming in, so let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. How's it going? Oh, my gosh. There's two of you here. Hi. Hello. Who is this?
Hey, it's DT and Gamer Girl.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Good to see you both. What's on your mind tonight?
He showed me, what is it, Shadowrun?
Shadowrun Returns, yeah.
Yeah, and I really liked it because I've never played anything like it, and I really liked it. It reminded me of XCOM a little bit.
I have not played Shadowrun Returns yet, but...
I backed the Kickstarter, I have the game, and it sits with the rest of my Steam library unplayed.
Shame on you.
I even have the expansion.
I'm glad someone out there is playing it when you're failing to play it.
I do want to play it. I like Shadowrun. I like the old SNES Shadowrun game.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it there.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch any of the awesome games done quick?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually started getting me into it because I'd never heard of him until the other day. So I was just really happy. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Super Metroid is like my favorite game of all time, as you all well know. And watching the speed run of it is just always so much fun. And it's like, even it goes so fast, I'm always kind of like, and every year I'm like, that you can do that in that game? I never realized that. Of course,
do they do anything different each year in that? Like, do they like up their strats or anything?
Some years they'll do an any percent run. Some years they'll do a 100% run. This year was a race 100% run. So four people did it all at once.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And they had to collect 100% of the items. And I think the winning time was like an hour and 22 minutes. Don't quote me on that, but I think it was something like that.
It was less than that. It was like an hour and 16.
No, wow.
Yeah, hour, 16.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see like four people doing it at once because, you know, the two on the left side were neck and neck throughout the whole thing. And they were only like seconds apart in it. And then one of the guys who was like in the upper right, like just made a boo-boo. Like mistakes happen. If you miss one jump, you miss one thing. And it put the guy like 4 minutes behind everybody else. It's just unfortunate. But that's the nature of speedrunning sometimes, is that if you make one mistake, it's, you know... Or as somebody else was saying, is that if you die in the Super Metroid run, it's over because you don't have time to save. You can't just run to a save room and save your game. That takes too long. So it's quicker.
And this is because I was coming down here. But did anyone get killed during the run?
No, but everybody lived through the run.
Oh, okay.
I just remember
previous runs, some people didn't make it out.
And Save the Animals won, which Kill won last year, if I remember right, and Save won this year. And it's probably less frames to save the animals than it is to save the game. So, I don't think it was that big a waste. And I did look. I looked carefully for that little dot that flies off the planet when you save the animals. Because in my opinion, that's the big reward. For the Save the Animals folk, it says, I see the dot. I did it. My donations made that dot appear four times. Anyway, what do you guys think on the Switch? You guys going to be getting a Switch or not so into it or what?
I'm kind of iffy right now just because I don't really see too many games that I want yet. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait. Plus, I have a five game rule. If there's five games that I like, then I usually get the system. But if not, then I don't. That way, I feel like it's not a waste of money for me.
It's honestly not a bad rule. And considering the system is only launching with five games, going to be pretty hard to meet that rule day one. But it's not. For me, it's three. But but yes, I think a lot of people have a rule like that. And what? That always goes back to the old golden rule of gaming here at OLR. A system is only as good as the game is that are on it, right?
Yep.
I'll probably try and get one by holiday because all the other games will be out by then.
Yeah, we'll see how the conversation shifts during E3, that's for sure.
Definitely.
I'm definitely picking up Breath of the Wild, though, for the Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
I've been waiting for that one forever.
How could you not after that trailer? That was...
I know, I was like, there's voice acting? All right.
Yeah, me too. Like, the Zelda crying thing was so, like, whoa. Like, you know. It was very powerful. Yeah. I'm excited. So, but I have a feeling Zelda's not just going to cry. Zelda's going to be a badass like she always is. I'm hoping. So,
yeah. All right.
I'm definitely getting that too.
It also reminds me of I can't think of the name of the game.
Ego?
No, not Ego. Oh. Well, the one that the artist for Totoro worked on.
Ni No Kuni?
Ni No Kuni.
Yeah. The art kind of sort of reminds me of it a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Hey, Ni No Kuni 2 should be a thing this year, huh? They were teased that on the PlayStation 4 a long time ago.
Yeah.
I think, isn't it supposed to be coming out soon or something?
Remember Ni No Kuni 2 announcement? Remember that? All right. Well, you guys, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze in some more calls, but it's a pleasure to hear from you both. Have a good time, you guys, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye. See you later. Bye.
All right, Dark Tetsuya and Gamer Girl making a joint call in the show. And we saw a video. Sorry to those of you guys on the radio. It happens sometimes. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give our show a call. Dungeon Buster in chat pointing out the DuckTales race was really epic, only a second or two difference. VX Jason XV, our fearless announcer, says dying in 100% races isn't very common because of the nature of getting tanks and whatnot. Not dying in any percent, which amounts to like 13%, I think, is fairly common and very brutal. Let's get to the phones. We got more calls. It's lighting up tonight. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
It's a Zeba.
Hey, Zeba, how you doing?
I'm good, good. I'm sorry I missed you at MAGFest.
I know, I was thinking that. I'm like, I totally missed you at MAGFest this year, but I don't know. This year was just different than last year. Like, I spent a lot of time... It's going to sound horrible. I spent a lot of time in room parties.
Mine was the opposite this time. I kind of did a little bit of room parties, but I did a lot more... I went to a lot more things that happened in MAGFest last year. I kind of just, like... kind of went with my group around, but this time I just went on my own. I did some of my own things.
Nice. What kinds of things did you see?
So, good thing you brought that up. That's what I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. I had a really great experience at MAGFest that I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
So you do know that David Wise was there, right?
Yes, I'd heard that. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it was Saturday. After I went to a panel, I went back to my room to go get something and I heard a knock on the door. So I opened it up and it's one of my, Overclock Remix friends. 'Cause I was with them in, MAGFest, and she goes, David Wise is in my room. I went, what? So I threw everything around and I went to her room. Sure enough, he's there. And there was a whole bunch of other people from OC Remix there. And they were playing Donkey Kong. It was kind of funny. So he turned and looked at me, and I was like, hi. And he's like, hi. And I kind of, sat next to him. And what was really awesome is, OC Remix, they do remixes for video games, if anybody didn't know. So there was...
I don't know how anybody listening to this show could not know of OC Remix. Seriously. Like, if you don't know, educate yourself.
Yes, that's right. Know your roots. So there was some remixers there that have done remixes for Donkey Kong. So... Uh-huh. They were going over next to him with earphones and with their phones and going, hey, Dave, can you listen to one of my remixes? And he was like, yeah, sure. So, like, it was a couple of them. And one of them stuck out at me because she was, like, so, like nervous talking to him. And she was gave him the earphones and, like, played her song. And, like, his face lit up. And I was like, whoa. And I didn't really listen to the remix myself, but he was just like, wow, I've never heard my song, like, be made that way. And it was just a great experience of having, like, people go to him with their music, like, remixed of his music. And it was nice. And then after that...
So in other words, you did do room parties, only your room parties had former Rare composers at them.
Yes.
I see. Way to one-up my stories.
So after all that, kind of calmed down a little bit, and they left Donkey Kong Running. And... So it kind of got quiet, and all of a sudden I heard David Wise kind of hum one of the songs. It was funny catching him do that. And then, there was one other thing. So, when they were playing, they were in one of the, stages that was in a cave. I'm not really too familiar with Donkey Kong game because I didn't really play them as much as a kid.
Sure.
But in one of the cave levels, there was like a dripping noise. And he was like, hey, you know that dripping noise was a noise in my apartment that I recorded. And we're like, whoa. Huh. it was just so neat hearing some of his stories. I went to the one of the panels that he was at too. It was the game composer Q&A. That was really neat too because I got to hear some snippets of like a bunch of game composers. But that like part in MAGFest of meeting him in a room and like talking to him, it was just a great experience.
And that sounds like one of those things that could really, like, only happen at MAGFest or a convention that's still, I mean, obviously MAGFest has grown very large, but it still has a lot of, like, small community vibes kind of going on with it, for sure. So, but that's...
Yes, definitely. I agree.
That's an awesome, awesome story. So, I don't blame you for ignoring me all weekend. I would have, too, if you... No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, it just didn't work out. And I didn't have a really good space to meet up or anything, but hopefully, next time. So I will definitely plan on being at MAGFest next year. Did you catch any of the concerts real quick?
Yes. I went to a couple. I'm trying to think of one of the names. Oh, crap. You put me on the spot. So
were you there?
To think of,
like Proto Man?
Everything that happened with David Wise kind of like made my whole like memory go away. But I went to a couple of them. They were pretty neat.
Nice. All right. Well, Zeba, thanks so much for the call and for sharing the story. And yeah, that's awesome. But, you know, I think it's a good reminder, too, that, you know, David Wise and a lot of these gaming folks that go to these conventions, you know, they are completely normal people as well that are probably truly humbled by the people that have the positive reactions to their stuff that they do. You know, I don't. Like have these delusions that OLR is this massively popular podcast or anything. But, you know, once in a while, you know, somebody will tell me at a convention or something, like they'll tell me about a particular episode or a story. And it's funny because oftentimes I probably can't even remember the exact episode or the story, but I'm always humbled that people like do take those kind of memories from the show and so forth. And it's just, it's amazing. And just, you know, fuzzy wuzzy feelings all over. So.
Yes, definitely. MAGFest does that to you.
All right. Well, Zeba, I'm going to let you go to try squeezing some more calls, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
All right. You too. Mm-hmm.
Bye. Okay. Our Skype line is on fire tonight, you guys. I'm going to try my best to get a couple more of these in. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ronmo.
Hey, Ronmo. It was good to see you last week.
Dude, it was good to see you too after what? Almost 10 years? Something like that?
No, it hadn't been that long, had it?
Oh my! It's kind of along those lines.
Oh my god! No, there was KatsuCon that one year. Faname. Yeah. God, it really has been a long time, hasn't it?
First was Faname, then it was KatsuCon. So that'd be like 7 or 8 years. And I cannot find one picture of you cosplaying Black Mage from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that was the thing that happened. That it happened. You never make it to Dragon Con. So
PAX East. That's the last time I saw you before this. PAX East.
PAX East. Yeah, I was like, I knew it had to be more recent than that. Yes, PAX East.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
First things first.
You cut out there a little bit, buddy. Try first things first again.
No, the reason why I'm cutting out a little because I'm just kind of verklempt about how much of an amazing time I had at MAGFest. I had a fucking ball.
That's right, because that was your first MAGFest, and we even kind of had to nudge you a little bit going, dude, you really should check out MAGFest. Well, to be fair, the listeners had to do the same thing to me. Like, YYR and SSJ100 Matt, like, really had to pester me, like, if you're burned out on PAX, dude, you should really, really try going to MAGFest. No, really, Rob, fucking go to MAGFest. And so I did, and I was like, oh my god, why didn't you guys tell me this sooner? We did!
You know what it is? It's just the timing of the convention. It's like it's right after New Year's, and I'm in the transition of getting finances and ready for con season 2000XX, you know? And it's like, this year, even though I said I was going, it actually snuck up on me. I was like, oh, right.
Yeah.
I should actually get my shit together for that.
I liked the February thing last year. I know not everybody's into that, but for me, that really worked out. I know Bobby was a big fan of that, too. I didn't like this whole, like, days after New Year's Eve. Especially, it was really weird at work, because most people at work are gone between Christmas and New Year, and I was still there doing my thing. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, how's your holiday? Great. Oh, wait, any plans now that you're back? It's like, yeah, I'm actually going on my holiday now. See ya. It's like, it's weird.
You see, about last year, it was mostly the East Coast cosplayers that were losing their proverbial shit because the weekend before that was Katsucon, and there were people deciding on which convention to go. Yeah. There are some people like, I'm doing both.
Yeah, that would be rough to do too. That's the one thing that is going to be tough about this year is that MagWest and Dragon Con are back to back. Thankfully, MagWest is in my backyard, but there's a really good chance that with Dragon Con this year, I'm just going to be like, fuck it, and take the entire week off work.
Well, there you go. You should do that. And I'm definitely going to try to come down Thursday.
Oh, are you doing Dragon Con this year?
No, I'm talking about MagFest.
No, I meant MagWest.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a little discombobulated right now because I'm still excited about the whole thing, and I'm editing photos from the con and all that craziness, you know.
Well, at least it sounds like I'll see you at MAGFest 2018, if nothing else.
Yes. Let me say a couple more things. I'm going to get out of here.
Yep.
My 2000 gaming pick was Azure Striker Gunvolt. It's Mega Man X meets an angry, pissed off person. That's pretty much what it is.
I'll have to check that out because I don't think I've played that.
Yeah, it's on 3DS and Steam. It's a really fun game.
Awesome. And you said you had something else you want to get out?
Yeah, this whole Nintendo's network, they're going to use, I'm calling it right now, they're using the Nintendo Network ID protocol that they start implementing around the time of they brought out Miitomo and his other stuff. That's what they're going to move to. I don't see them using friend codes anymore. And if they do, that's staying with the 3DS. They're going with the Nintendo Network ID thing. That's why I see them happening.
I think you're right, because if you guys remember right, that was the whole reason we found out about the NX, using my quotey fingers. The whole reason we found out about the NX when they revealed it like way earlier than they were ready to talk about it was because they were talking about a Nintendo Network type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And to answer what Loki was saying earlier, the Switch console could use GPS, but it has to be ready for it via Bluetooth because I have a smartwatch and it can do GPS provided it syncs with my phone and it pulls the GPS coordinates. So you can, if the Switch can do Bluetooth through the smartphone and if somebody does the right hacking, you could implement GPS and you could also implement hotspotting through Bluetooth. So you got that.
Yeah, which to be fair, we don't know if that Switch has Bluetooth in it. I don't think it does, right?
It probably doesn't, and they wouldn't do it like in an app like Pokemon Go or something like that wouldn't do that because then you're trusting a Bluetooth device to provide accurate GPS information, which that could be
gonna get hacked
spoofed.
Anyway.
So, of course, they're not going to open themselves up to that.
True.
The app would have to be on the console side, and they'd have to heavily lock it down. And looking at the prices of the Switch and accessories, I personally think the prices are ridiculous. But you know what? Nintendo is going to make a profit off of every single one of them consoles and accessories and controllers sold.
Nintendo does not make a loss on the hardware they sell, and that's a very hard line they drew in their company a long time ago. I think the only time they ever sold something at a loss was when they finally price cut the 3DS, I think.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
Well, unless you want to count the Virtual Boy.
Well, no, I don't. Yeah. All right. Rama, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up.
All right, cool. And most likely I will be getting a Switch, and I'll probably be staying at home while I play Mario Kart 8. It's probably going to happen, but I'm just going to wait and see more games coming out.
But that also means if you bring your Switch to MAGFest 2018, we get to all play Mario Kart 8. It's going to be a blast.
That will probably be the only time my Switch will leave the system. leave the house. So, you know. I'll probably send an email about this later, so we'll definitely do some coffee later.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Yep, bye.
That's one thing that's going to end with the Switch as well, if you may think about it, for you know, like the 3DS and DS, is that SharePlay stuff. They don't have the, or I think it's called SharePlay. Remember where you, one person would have the cart and then everybody else can beam the game to their thing?
That is going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Sorry to those that didn't get through, but if you want to give us an email, that would be awesome. Participate at orangeloungetrader.com. By the way, Bobby Blackwolf in chat brought a receipt from one of these tech sites saying that, wait, I reread it. The Switch has Bluetooth 4.1. So it does have Bluetooth in it. So, but again,
right, because that's what the controllers use.
Right. But I kind of think you're right, though, about the GPS thing, is it would be a very easy thing to spoof. And, you know, at the end of the day, why put Pokemon Go on the Switch? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But maybe a new Pokemon game that interacts with, or excuse me, a new Pokemon game in the Sun and Moon variety that interacts with Go, I could see maybe a little more of that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Have they even discussed the connectivity between Go and Sun and Moon already?
No, they kind of
shoved
that
one.
Oh
yeah, that's going to be a thing.
They shoved that under the rug.
No, it's not.
I think Niantic's just had too much problems. They still have yet to do a live event, which is important to point out as well. You know, we still have legendaries from Gen 1 that haven't come out, and now we're on the eve of Gen 2 Pokemon hitting. Gen 2 Pokemon are hitting, but there's a lot more that are still coming out soon. A lot of people theorize we could get some developments this next week. I kind of think they're grasping at straws. I think Niantic's just going to dump that on us when they're getting ready, but we'll see. I don't want them to rush it. Don't screw it up. Anyway, that is going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys for joining us again, especially after we were gone for a little bit, especially being 2 weeks off. Thank you for being here. If you were here live, awesome. Great to have you here. If you're listening on the podcast feed, appreciate that too, or however you're listening. Maybe you torrented it. I don't know. But we always appreciate a 5-star review on a place like iTunes, Google Play, or wherever it is you found this podcast. Those reviews do go a long way. Word of mouth is really all we have to sell this show, because we don't have a giant multi-million dollar website or advertising network behind us. All we have is word of mouth. So if you liked what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. And even if you didn't like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, hey, at least support independent podcasting. Continue to support folks who create this content for you. And again, email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We're going to go around and get everybody's final thought. And since I see Dark Sakura packing up, I'll start with her. Dark Sakura, your final thought for tonight.
Resist.
Resist false icons. All right. Enlighten.
I'm making a statement. Resist.
Loki, your final thought tonight.
I don't know if I'm going to keep the Switch. Because if I don't keep the Switch, then I'm going to buy myself a 3D printer. So
that's exciting.
One or the other.
That's exciting.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm leaving it on, especially right now, because there's also the opportunity of scalping that shit. But I don't know. I may just be lazy and leave it on there and like, oh hey, what's this on my doorstep? Oh yeah, fit. Shit, I forgot that was coming out, you know. I don't know.
All right. My final thought this week is yay for a 3-day weekend, but let's not forget why we have a 3-day weekend.
Not for me.
Sorry. My final thought. So I just want to, you know, acknowledge that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and take a minute to reflect on his message. Especially since this is going to be a very interesting week. And for me personally, even all the national stuff aside, it's going to be a very interesting week, and I'm very excited, dare I say. So anyhow, that's it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Really appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody. We will see you in 7 days. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.